This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
For information, call our office at 281-999-5879. That's 281-999-5879. I'll see you there.
This is KPFT Houston.
Wants you. This day camp for youth in kindergarten through fifth grade is intended to provide children experiences about resolving conflicts, coping with bullies, dealing with anger and frustration, and ways to be a peacemaker. Other activities such as yoga, drumming, puppets, respect for earth projects, and arts and crafts are also a part of the program. This is the ninth year for the camp, which will be held Monday through Friday, July 14th through 18th at the Cameron Retreat Center, 2405 Holcomb Boulevard in Houston. The camp is organized by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. First organized in 1915, the league was founded to achieve, through peaceful means, world disarmament, full rights for women, racial and economic justice, and an end to all forms of violence, and to establish those political, social, and psychological conditions which can assure peace, freedom, and justice for all. If you are interested in volunteering or would like additional information, contact Judith Hoffine at judithhoffine@sbcglobal.net. KPFT Houston.
We're setting sail for Constantinople. Our dear captain told us, let's go. So we pack up our mess kits with bratwurst and rye. We launder our pants in salt water and lye. And we stow jars of duck fat, just don't ask us why. We're heading out for the high sea. My captain, my shipmates, and me. We're sailing on to Constantinople, and life on our ship is just grand. Out here on the ocean, we've nothing to fear. We wash down our suppers with tall steins of beer. And we choose for a bunkmate a man to hold dear. We'd fight for our country for free. Just give us a life on the sea. We're sailing into Constantinople. Our brave captain warned us, it's true, that when we're ashore, we'll be put through our paces by big Turkish studs wearing black boots with laces, our heels in the air and broad smiles on our faces, as happy as sailors can be. The Navy's the lifestyle for me. We're sailing out from Constantinople, 'cause our mission here is now through. We're leaving the port with some tears in our eyes. We need to appointment on our banner ties. But those Ottoman soldiers are now our allies. We're proud of our service, you see. We did it for old Germany.
sky. What's that you're drinking? Can I buy you one? Don't be shy. You know we're both here looking for some fun. No, it's true. It's not that often that I act as bold. Why? Yes, I do. And do quite well, sir, or so I've been told. Oh, what a wonderful night. Thank God for lust at first sight.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. What the day is it?
13th. 12th, whatever.
13th / 12th, 12th, 13th. It's the second week of the month.
Mm-hmm.
July 2008. Yeah, okay. All I can smell is chlorine right now, so I don't know where the hell I'm at.
Mm.
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. Why do you smell like chlorine?
We had the big men's pool social.
Oh, where was this?
Over at one of the guys' apartment complexes.
Nice.
It was so much fun scaring the straight women there.
All these big guys?
Well, you know, our tits are bigger and they're real.
Well, okay.
They kind of scurried off.
That's why you're smiling. You were able to be evil this evening.
Honey, I try and be evil every day.
I know, and you've already succeeded, so I'm safe for the rest of the night, huh?
I wouldn't say that, because see, that technically that was yesterday.
Oh.
This is today.
Oh, damn.
Besides, you know, I believe in the Jack in the Box philosophy. I can give it to you 24/7. There's not much I can give to somebody 24/7, you know. My evil side.
But evilness is one of them.
Yes. And it comes with a side of fries.
Oh, my goodness.
What the hell did we start this show off with?
It's new music, and I knew you'd hate it. It's kind of quirky, queer music, a little on the folky side. That first one is unlike any other song on the CD. But the second one...
Sailing to Constantinople.
Constantinople, yes. And what's the name of the group?
Don Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
The CD is called Good Clean Fun.
Yes.
And if you're interested in this music... Okay, I found a redeeming value.
What?
I see three hynies.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wait. Hold.
And they're male ones. What? What?
There's a frontal shot, but there's too much of a silhouette. I can't tell. Either that or you know, he's in a lake, so, you know, it could be the water's cold.
Yeah. And what was the title of the second song?
Cruising.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you're interested in this, Ben Taub has a facility for you.
Stop. It's fun. It's fun stuff, and it gets kind of raunchy towards the end. The last few numbers we can't play on the air. So, it's celebrating maleness. Let's put it that way.
San Francisco, Kanzo, Crisco?
Yeah, well. And that's the whole song.
San Francisco, Kanzo, Crisco. San Francisco, Kanzo, Crisco. I'm hanging up my cha-cha heels, putting away my... sweet Jesus.
Yeah. Drag queens going to leather.
There's a pee-pee. Teddy Roosevelt's got a stethoscope, and he's... giving a very young Lee Marvin an examination.
It's all the photos are from the 19th century of men in the army playing at the lake, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's cool stuff. Cool stuff. Okay. What's wrong?
Handlebar mustache.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I remember hearing that at the Army stories where the guy's bent over and the other guy...
Yes.
Apparently fisting is not a new creation.
I don't think that's what they're doing. I don't know what that is. That's very odd.
We may need a second opinion on that, but...
Okay.
It looks like they're doing that.
I think someone is checking him for hemorrhoids.
I believe we're in the first 30 seconds of that X-Tube video.
don't you love X-Tube?
Yes.
Yes.
What about Gay-Tube?
That's not bad either. Not bad. Anyway, how was your week? Stop looking at that. See, now maybe you'll want to listen to the rest of it. I guess not.
Yeah, you may have had me with the accordions. You know, for the first 10 seconds of the accordions, yes, my Polish side came out, yeah. But then I started hearing the song.
Yeah. Well, those just good old boys who were able to get the Turkish soldiers on their side.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Yeah, well, that was one way. Anyway.
Oh, man.
I liked it. That's why I played it. Don Harvey, good, clean, fun.
Now you understand, gentle listeners, why in the world I don't take time away from the station. Because that leaves Jimmy.
I just like to play all kinds of different queer music, that's all. Anyway, how
that's queer in the other sense of the word queer.
There you go. How was your week? Let's get back to that. Really?
Same stuff, different week.
Okay, Stanley was here all week, so I was occupied, especially since Judy is still recovering at my place. So evenings were kind of special with Judy
to
and,
say the least.
And Stan and I and the cat.
Who brought the pussy?
It's Judy's cat.
It's Judy's pussy.
And she may have to leave her cat with me because her cat is starting to like me better.
So Judy's pussy is now attracted to you.
I guess you could say that. Anyway.
Okay, yeah, we're definitely going to be, yeah. We're continuing on with the plans. Now you're going to get a rocking chair to go with it. Yeah. When Judy finally, as I told you earlier, when Judy moves on to that next plane of existence, uh-huh. Whether it's her own place again or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get ready for these plans, Mark. We're going to have a party at Jimmy's. We're taking his couch out and burning it. And we're replacing it with the most god-awful, uncomfortable chairs for in his living room so that no one can stay more than 30 minutes.
I think I know where you can find some.
That's so mean. That's so mean.
Well, then it'll also be a good scratching post for your pussy.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Well, I got a message this week. I've been going to a certain barber for many years now, Don Gill, and he has had health problems for the past year, and he missed my appointment, so I called, and there was a message on the machine that he was going to be, he's recuperating, and he's going to be out indefinitely, so...
If you have a soup bowl out there and a pair of clippers.
Actually, what I did, because I had heard that there was a new barber shop in the Montrose, on Montrose Boulevard. And so I didn't know exactly where it was. I just kind of drove up and down Montrose until I found this place that said barber shop. So I pulled in the driveway, got out of the car, and walked in the door. And it is a barber shop. But it's an unusual barbershop in that the barbers were African-American women.
Oh, dear God.
I know. Amanda and Rhea. And I got one of the best haircuts ever.
And your cornrows look lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No. Amanda is a barber slash stylist. So, you know, you get the best of both worlds. And...
I thought you just sent it out for dry cleaning.
Stop. It's all mine.
I'll stick with my cute Vietnamese guys up in okay. Copperfield.
No, I really like that. So
he goes by Q.
Q, huh?
Yeah.
Also
okay.
Like Star Trek.
Well,
so
let's see.
I did get the address. It's 1952 Montrose Boulevard. 1952. Wow. That was a good year.
I wouldn't know.
Neither would I.
That's when I discovered I was gay.
I thought you said 1952.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I was 4 years old.
You just couldn't keep out of the other guy's pampers, could you?
No, I couldn't. Anyway, things going on in the community before we get to tonight's festivities, and which include...
Leather ties.
Yes. Yes.
He's bringing some people from Sacred Heart.
Ooh, we're going to have some tattoo stuff going on, huh? talking about tattoos?
Well, you know, knowing this show, I guess that finally we'll earn the phrase lewd, nude, and tattooed.
Okay. So everybody here has to show whatever tattoo they have, wherever it happens to be. Is that it?
Well,
great. No. Works for me.
Well, you're safe with me.
Yeah, everybody's safe with me. Oh, you don't? Oh, damn.
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, other things going on in the community. I would like to remind everyone that Miss Alabama's annual Christmas in July show is this weekend at the BRB on Sunday, the 13th. That's like now. It starts at 8 p.m. Once again, as for the past several years, David Sawyer and Miss Alabama are giving their hearts and energy to produce this wonderful event that has an almost 20-year history. Who would have thought that after so many years that this event, started by Lady Victoria Lust, B.J. Summers, Brucella Duvall, and others, would still be needed so much? Anne Marie Gill, Marsha Mink Gill, Rose, and Kimberly will be the MCs for the evening. To refresh everyone's memories about where the money goes to, through the generosity of our community, the People with AIDS Houston Coalition is able to give the Colt 45 AIDS Trouble Fund enough money so that the Colts can write $100 checks to each of the Trouble Fund clients. This is not only done in July, but is also done in December for Christmas. To learn more about the Trouble Fund clients that this event helps, please go to dubcubed.colt45s.org. Marvin's intent for this to be a few bucks for the clients and have a bit of cash to spend on themselves, a bit of mad money. Years back, the first amount was $5 per client. Community support has allowed us to raise that amount to the present $100 per client. Some use this holiday gift to give themselves a special treat, but others have to use it just to survive. There are over 40 Trouble Fund clients, so we hope to raise over $4,000 so each client can get a check for $100. So that's happening at the BRB tonight at 8 p.m. And, of course, every Wednesday night, the Tony's Corner Divas reign supreme at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas, featuring Lillian Devereaux, Anne Marie Gill, Selena St. John, Marsha Mink Gill, and Regina Dane. Coming up next weekend on Sunday, July the 20th, is Miss Mint Julep. That's actually, it's Miss, Ms., and Mr. Mint Julep for 2008. It's Cheyenne, Serena, the Sisters of Avalon, Crew of Olympus, and many more performers will be on hand to entertain you. Come support Legacy at this year's Miss, Ms., and Mr. Mint Julep 2008. That's Sunday, July 20th. Showtime is at 2 p.m. at Rich's, 2401 San Jacinto. This is the show of shows. You are going to see some fabulous entertainment, and you will probably, the show goes on for hours, so you're going to see all you ever wanted to see. Also want to give out next Sunday, the Houston Nomads is having their anniversary, and the location is 611. So join the Houston Nomads for their anniversary on Sunday, July the 20th, for barbecue and good times. No run fee, no registration, just a relaxed afternoon with their friends. And before that, all that happens, let's see what we've got here. GCAM will hold its special GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum for GLBT History, Inc., will hold a special general membership meeting on Monday, July the 14th at 7 p.m. at the GLBT Community Center, located at 3400 Montrose. It's a jam-packed month of plans and fundraisers, and there's more to come before the end of the year, so please join us. Help plan the calendar and tend to business. All are welcome to attend. Let's see. Also, next Sunday, for ICOH. We know that most will be at Rich's for Mint Julep, but if you're not, if you're not and you're out and about afterward, come out and play. The show is open to all performers. So while the Emperor's away, the Empress will play Sunday, July 20th at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom, and that's at 7:30 p.m. And I have one more thing here.
Was that supposed to be a hint to me to get ready?
Yeah. Forwarding this news on behalf of Joe Watts, Theater New West artistic director, who was involved with the upcoming Houston Fringe Festival. It's an audition and casting, Theater New West, for the show coming up called The Penis Chronicles. And he's looking for an African-American male or trans actor needed to complete casting. It's August 15th and 16th, two performances. Let's see. The character is Rhapsody Fontaine, and you get you have a 10-minute monologue. A transgender, mid-late 20s, ages flexible, African-American, tall with great legs, quite attractive in all her made-up glory, can be played by a transgender male to female or a male in drag. The monologue is beautifully written, an actor's dream, a great opportunity to really strut your stuff and to be the first to create this super character. Lots of experience is not important. What is important is that you fit the character and can pull off the role.
Pulling off a role just sounds dirty.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. So that's Theater New West.
You always choke on the big ones.
I do. Go ahead.
Strange. With all the thing there's no talk about inches, and you still choked on it.
I'm sorry.
Don't forget, Wednesday is the deadline for the Houston Council of Clubs Louis 36 Pin and Poster Contest.
Yes.
You can find out rules and information on what you need on louisweekend.com. And just click on the Pin and Poster fit there. It's
Oh, sorry. I touched something.
You usually do when you're here. The deadline is Wednesday at 8 o'clock when the meeting starts over at the Ripcord. And Houston Guava Lamp awarded the 2008 Playgirl Magazine Sexiest Man Alive model search.
That's going on.
First event was tonight. Next event will be next Saturday.
Over at Guava?
Guava Lamp, 570 Wall at Allen Parkway, starting at 10 p.m. Even though this is a Playgirl event, it's not a nude event. No part of the series will require the contestant to become nude. On each week, on Saturday, a new group of men will give their hearts to a panel of judges, and each week only one of the gorgeous men will advance to the semifinals. They will be judged on appearance, sex appeal, dance ability, style, and enthusiasm. For more information, you can contact Cade Michaels at cade.michaels@cademichaels.com.
There's just funny spelling on Michaels.
No E.
No E on Michaels.
Yeah. We can go to his website.
Yeah.
A little bit to know here about our sister show, Queer Voices.
Yeah, they've got some things that are changing around over
Big
there.
Big changes. It scared people to open up that email.
Yeah.
First of all, they have a MySpace, myspace.com/queervoices. They're also on Facebook called Queer Voices, coincidentally enough. They won't be on this upcoming Monday because of KPFT's coverage of the National Green Party Convention. The following week, Queer Voices will be starting at its new time, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Mondays.
9 to 11?
Yep. They're bumping up an hour. It's about time we have a rocket scientist. Scientist and progressive thinker Helen Caldicott begins her show at 7 p.m. on Mondays, followed by Larry Payne and Interchange at 8. Queer Voices then moves up to 9. For more information on that, you can go to kpft.org.
Yes, you can.
So?
That's it?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
That fourth sheet of paper, you remember, I'm passing off someone else to do.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Is she in there?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the second week, second Saturday of the month, and normally Eresus is here, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Inc. Houston.
And, yeah. Well, they've got an event going on in Waco, Fort Worth Coronation this weekend. So a lot of folks are up there. So I'm going to talk about a few things that are going on with Eresus. Next weekend, on Friday, July the 18th, Eresus presents Flip Flop Friday, hosted by Imperial Prince Royale 24, Susan Hayes. And that is at 8:30 at Tony's Corner Pocket. And then the very next night, Hot Summer Nights, hosted by Imperial Prince 24, Falcon. That's Sunday, July the 19th. Wait a minute. Friday, July the 18th, and Sunday, July the 19th?
Falcon wrote it, so expect errors.
Okay. July the 18th, Flip Flop Friday. July the 19th, Hot Summer Nights. 8 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. And that show is a direct benefit for the Colt 45s. The other show is a benefit for Legacy Community Health Services and assist hers through Coronation 25. Then on the 25th, they have the Oh Shoot Show, hosted by Chris Sushi Valk. And on the 26th, the Fire and Ice Ball, hosted by Emperor 24 Bob Skinner and Empress 24 Kimberly O'Neill, 8 p.m. at EJ's. And that is benefiting the Crew of Olympus. So you might check that one out. That's on the 26th, the Fire and Ice Ball. I imagine there's going to be big gowns and big jewelry and all kinds of stuff going on for that one. And they've got their Peasants versus Monarchs weekend coming up, Friday, August the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Well, actually, August the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Friday, it's happening at EJ's at 6 p.m. Come join John Paul, Crystal, and the rest of the peasants on the upstairs patio martini bar and help us celebrate the beginning of the weekend. Then 7 to 11, Saturday, August the 2nd, Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. Then join John Paul and Crystal again for plenty of food. Food, did you hear that? And when Eresus does food, they do good food and a lot of it. Food, fun, drink, and a stunning review show saluting the past and present monarchs of Eresus. The show will feature captivating and titillating performances by some of Eresus's best. We may not be worthy, but we were going to kick some major imperial butt and get that flag back. During the show, we will also be hosting a raffle for items donated by the peasants and their fabulous friends. The show is open to all performers. Then Sunday, The Monarch's Revenge is at the BRB at 8 o'clock. So you can join Emperor 24 Bob Skinner and Empress 24 Kimberly O'Neill as they make a vain but valiant attempt to raise more money than the peasants and fight to keep the flag which they so rudely stole last year. Be ready. The peasants have a few things in store for this show, too. So that's going to be kind of a fun little thing going on. Then, on a sadder note, another one of the reasons that the Eresus folks are not here this evening, and I'm going to read an email that came through from Kimberly O'Neill, the Empress 24 of Eresus. It says, please keep Emperor 24 Bob Skinner in your thoughts and prayers, for his sister has passed away early this morning in Waco. As a lot of you know, Bob's sister has been very ill for some time now, and today the Lord decided to call her home. At this time, he is not sure if he will be able to attend Fort Worth Coronation, pending arrangements to be set by the family and himself. Again, please keep Bob and Bob's lover, Phil Lyles, also known as Lillian Devereaux, in your constant thoughts and prayers, and may faith, family, friends, and special memories bring them the needed strength to get through this trying time. That was sent out by Kimberly O'Neill. And I want to add a little something too. Bob is one of the nicest, sweetest, and gentlest people I've ever known, so this must really be a blow for him. So, Bob, if you're out there and you're listening, everybody here at After Hours is thinking of you and sending good energy your way, and we'd like to send this special song out to you. It's one of my very best favorites.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
Thank you. gold and blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" Babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
A little peppier.
Yeah. Is that Mark Allen Smith?
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Well, you know, we haven't heard the rumors on Louis Armstrong, so it had to be Mark Allen.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. We did forget to announce this. The gay and lesbian Yellow Pages. Stop theft and stop hate. Please help stop hate and the vandals who are stealing and destroying our books in large quantities from distribution racks around Houston and the Montrose area. If you see anyone other than a GLYP distributor removing our books, please let us know. Thank you. The Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages, 713-942-0084. I've talked with someone who works there, and they said they've had problems with people stealing really large quantities and throwing them in the dumpster, and they found like 300 and 400 copies of the Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages put in a dumpster by somebody. So there's some hate going on out there.
We know it's Jimmy. He's been shredding his little nest under Judy.
Who do we have now?
Sinfest.
Woo!
And it's
it is time for Sinfest.
Your mic's on.
Oh, I can't hear me.
I can't hear you either.
See, maybe it's not on.
Okay, oh, now I hear you.
Okay, it's not only in the Montrose area, but up on the north side.
Oh, yeah?
They're just swiping those books.
Man, I don't get
it. You know, up near 45 Red Oak area.
Yeah.
It's just, there's
That's
always
weird.
At least six or seven, and if you see it empty, call them and tell them they need a refill.
Yeah, please.
So they can keep an eye on their distributors, and when, you know, if they put out, you know, 50 books, and, you know, you're there the next day, and there's, you know, none.
Yeah, there's something going on. I'm wondering if it's one person going around doing that.
It sounds like kids.
You think?
You know, and it just.
But I mean, they've never had that problem before. Now all of a sudden, this year, they're being swiped from places in the Montrose and, like you said, in the north, and it's just kind of weird. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway. Let's talk about Sinfest, because that's a whole lot more fun. Mm-hmm.
It is going to be July 19th at the Meridian.
Mm-hmm.
Next Saturday.
Evil Michelle is here.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
And if somebody wants to call in, they can win some tickets.
Hey.
We have tickets right here, right now.
Hell, we can do that.
Yep, they can get two VIP tickets if they want to call in.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about what Sinfest is.
Well, see if they... It is an extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
It is...
It's a little bit of a... It's a kink fest.
Everything.
Well,
it's a kink fest.
I tell everybody that it is my installation art experience... But nobody gets that. Basically,
if they knew you, they
would.
They want to know what type of art you're installing.
Mm. Well, we're installing all kinds of art. That's the beauty of this. We have four rooms available to us at the Meridian, which mm-hmm. is at 1503 Chartres on the edge of downtown, and right there at the 59 Feeder Road.
Mm-hmm.
And we take these four spaces and we convert each room. A la Studio 59, boys. I'm talking full on.
You mean 54?
54.
59.
No.
I thought you weren't going to drink tonight.
I only had one cocktail.
I only had one. Yeah,
I only had one cocktail.
I only had one cocktail.
How many? It was in a glass.
How many shots?
It was one shot. It was what my cocktail
Oh, wait. There's a cocktail and a shot.
No. My cocktail was a shot. I had one shot of Patron, and you can thank the guy at Numbers for me.
Okay.
No, I ate hot dogs today.
I'm not
going to
comment.
And the shot glass was the size of a garbage can.
Hebrew Nationals. It was all kosher. It was Hebrew Nationals.
Okay, fine. It was kosher.
It was kosher dogs and Mexican
tequila. We have over 20 vendors coming out. Leather Forever,
mm-hmm.
Jazz the Mad Welder. I mean, just a little bit of everything.
We have people selling Ren Faire items and holistic, metaphysical items. We have books. We have art. We have fashion. We have everything. Kink.
Performance art dungeon.
A lot of performance art.
Uh-huh.
A lot. You know, there's a different heading. If you're whacking somebody and it's called assault, but if it's part of a performance art piece, that's just what it is. It's art.
Yes, of course.
We've got some of the best burlesque troops coming in from San Antonio and Dallas.
Mm.
Temple of Flesh.
The Red Devil Review.
Cadaver Cabaret.
Lilith Gray, who is Miss Gulf Coast Leather 2008. Hardy Haberman is Saturday afternoon is coming down and giving a free presentation that's open to everyone.
The vendors will be open during those hours as well.
Hey, now when what's the time frame here? I mean, what the hours?
8 to 10 is VIP.
Okay.
And then from 10 on is just general admission.
Okay. And it goes on until
2 a.m.
Okay.
And we in that time we have two raffles that benefit Legacy.
Oh, and good.
And these aren't little raffles. The estimated value of these raffles is over $1,000.
Hey, where are you down in it?
Every vendor gives an item to put in each raffle.
Hmm.
So you're getting your flogs. Many of them are making special things for Summer Sin Fest, which is always a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
Black Hawk Leather has donated a gift certificate. Market Square is giving gift certificates. And it's all to benefit Legacy because they do such a great thing in the community.
They do.
We've got swag bags to the first 100 VIPs that come in and go to the Redemption Booth. Isn't that a nice name, the Redemption Booth?
Yeah.
But they got to look at the big map to find out where it's at.
And there is a big map. You can find it, and it does have an X that says, You are here.
It's just going to be a blazing fun night. We've got two drag shows. One is Miss Gia, who is a former Miss Tony's Corner Pocket.
Yes, she is, and she is flawless.
Is she?
Perfect makeup, perfect hair. She has some of the nicest and best 40s-style outfits and hairdos that I've ever seen on a drag queen.
She contacted us and just said, hey, can I do a number to help out?
And she's got a body, too.
And I said, well, yeah, you know. She said, well, can I do two to help out? And so she is going to do one during VIP, which is going to be just impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then one later on during GA.
Mm, good.
Yes, both shows are totally different.
We're trying to talk Chris into coming because we know Jimmy's coming because he said so.
Yeah.
And see, y'all heard it.
I'm going to be
witnesses.
There.
He has a table with a reserve sign on it.
If he doesn't show up,
I will know because I'm going to be there. And I know where Jimmy lives. I'm
we are, yes. Tickets are available at Smoochie's right mm-hmm. there on I-10 next to, what is that? The 24-hour
yeah.
video
the
place.
The other dirty place.
Yeah.
But I love the Coke machine outside.
They call it the Studemont place, yeah.
There's a Coke machine outside, and you got to kind of step on the curb and bend way over to get your Coca-Cola.
Mm.
But I've
it's
never
called it
been
pays
there.
To advertise.
I've been to Smoochie's a couple of times.
Smoochie's, I love those Smoochie people.
Mm-hmm.
They are wonderful. And Erotic Cabaret, Bonnie over at Erotic Cabaret, both of those places have tickets.
Smoochie's has a couples night.
Smoochie's has couples
like
night Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I love about Smoochie's is when you walk in, it smells clean like Pine Sol.
Mm-hmm. It is true. That.
Yeah, yeah, they're just...
True.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Now,
sorry.
Smoochie's is a relatively heterosexual place.
Not anymore.
Well, I've been there, and because a lot of single guys go there looking to play with couples, and... the night I was there, it was one guy described it as a sausage party because there weren't any couples. And
well,
so I benefited greatly that evening.
I was going to say, are you complaining?
No.
They were very considerate. They donated
thank you, Smoochie,
a couple.
Jimmy.
Oh, thank you, Smoochie.
Smoochie, we brought actually a little sampling of what
this
was donated.
What is it?
Those are beads.
Oh, the beads.
The
we're not talking Mardi Gras.
No.
Yeah,
no. No.
Implanted.
Yeah.
Insertables.
Yes.
Inserted, not implanted.
And then
we'll
they also donated these wonderful jelly-like rings.
They're pleasure rings. Silicone pleasure rings.
What a nice
That's
name.
That's the official name on it.
I see.
And the other one just says anal beads.
Yeah. Well, that's what they are.
That's the product name.
You can
name.
Say, though, that's the product name.
Yes.
And that's... So Smoochie's is thinking about, you know, a really good time.
And Erotic Cabaret is going to help you out if you want to make that date with a stranger because they've donated a pin and a gift certificate to each swag bag.
Oh.
I mean, we've got some of the best sponsors. AAA is even and putting stuff in our swag bag. We just want to keep everybody safe.
Oh, damn.
Sacred Heart Studios is putting coupons in there. So
and
you
KPFT
can
has stuff, too, and it's at my apartment.
Oh, crap. Can I pick it up Wednesday night at HCC?
You may.
Okay, because I was going to ask you about that.
Yes.
I was so excited because I've been sewing gold lame all day. and, yeah, you got to come out at least to see the dress. Come on,
yeah.
Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Chris,
Whitney's going to look like...
Chris.
Chris is going to look like a big...
I'm sorry, I was looking here at the fact that I missed out the chance to get a Big Mo shirt.
Yeah.
We have a volunteer. He volunteered. He signed up on the website. And we have a spot down in the smoking section because we all know that we're all smokers.
Yep.
And we wanted to make... We wanted to make
he
it...
He smokes pole.
And that's... We had a volunteer and he said, you know... I'd like to go into the sunny beaches, but nobody would like to see a big guy in a Speedo.
Why not?
Well, that's what I said.
We had 19 fat guys down there at a swimming pool earlier today,
mm-hmm.
and Greenpeace never showed, so...
Well, you know, and I wrote him back, and I said, well, why not?
Were you flopping around?
And I
like
said, if...
We tried.
If you are courageous enough, and that's what you would like to do... By all means, come on in your Speedo.
You bet.
My theory is that if you don't like it, just turn your head.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else will like it.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's going to be a big man in a Speedo in a cage for you.
Cool.
We also have older ladies for the folks that are attracted to them serving cookies to the naughty boys and girls.
Oh.
The sweet, sexy seniors.
Yes. I see.
And
great. You kind of got a reason to get Judy out of the house now. Let her roll on in.
We have...
We've got Mrs. Cleaver serving cookies, huh?
We do. We have some June Cleaver serving cookies.
Leave
we
it to
have...
my beaver.
Good one. We'll have to remember
that
one.
On their head. We have all kinds of things going on. Every shape, size, color, religion... affiliation, leather.
I love it.
Yeah, if you can think of it, I think we've covered it pretty much.
Good.
And if not, let us know about it.
And we'll still cover it next year.
We want to know your kink.
Okay, so I can get tickets at Smoochie's and anywhere else?
And at Erotic Cabaret.
Erotic Cabaret.
And at www.summersinfest.com.
Ah.
And at meridianhouston.com.
Oh.
Ticketmaster.com.
Wow.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Or you can find me out and about and buy a ticket for me. I've usually got some in my purse.
Mm.
But we're still going to give away two tickets if somebody would just call in. Because Sacred Heart is coming up, and they're going to talk to you about piercing
and tattooing.
Ooh, I need a good tattoo artist.
Yeah.
I really do.
So what's the number?
713-526-5738.
713-526-5738.
Oh my God, someone's listening.
Three tickets yes. to Sinfest yes. next Saturday night.
Watch, it's the same guy from last month.
Do not let it be my daughter.
Yeah.
You still can't go. You're only 17.
But come out and support Legacy. It's going to be a great night. Eric from Legacy is going to come out that night.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got the Mint Julep the next night. So it's going to be a busy, busy weekend.
Yeah, it is going to be a really busy weekend. So,
and we're going to have somebody come out that's actually listening.
Hey.
And in the program on the bottom, I did write, listen on your way home in the program.
Uh-huh.
We have a huge ad for them in here.
Yeah.
We love KPFT. We treat you very special.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I still have the banner from last year.
Mm-hmm.
That will be put up again.
That we're going to put it up in the community lounge.
Great, thank you.
That is one feature that we have that you don't see everywhere else. We have community participation.
Yes, you do.
Across the boards. We have strong leather supporters, thanks to the wonderful people on this end of the pole, and then back in the pansexual. That was a little pun there, boys.
Anything on the end of a pole. Mm-hmm.
I knew you boys were there for that. And then from the pansexual community, we have an assortment of folks coming out, and we've actually dedicated a space for those people who are interested in networking themselves into our community. There's a lounge in the back of the main performance room. Go back there, say hello. There'll be people with badges.
It's like somebody's living room.
Mm. Yeah, we want you to come hang out and meet everyone. And yeah, maybe some people are cooler than others. That's not my fault. They were volunteers. But, you know, come on out and have a good time. That's not going to get me in trouble.
How many cocktails?
One freaking shot. One shot. But it was a really good shot. And it was right before I left because you called, like, right after I ordered it.
Okay.
Don't worry. If you haven't offended everybody, I certainly will here next. So. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Oh, you can't. Yeah.
Thank you. Please offend everyone you can because I'm really hard
That's
to beat on
job.
That one.
Yay.
Come on, boys, to my rescue. But
it's SummerSinFest.com, and it's next Saturday at the Meridian. Mm-hmm. Come out and see the show. Come out and have fun.
Come shopping.
Come shopping.
Congratulations to William Allen in Santa Fe.
Wow. Hey,
William Allen.
You know, there are kinksters everywhere.
Well, of course, we always used to say that we wanted that little couple from A-Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
We've known for a long time that there was kinksters down in Santa Fe.
Oh,
that's where Steven's from.
Well, of course, yeah.
You've met his brother and his dad.
I think his dad is hot.
And you can come get your, swag for Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Cool.
It'll be fun.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, we've got the VIP tickets. We're going to leave them here at the station. And, yay, he gets a special gift with his tickets.
Ooh, you're going to like this gift, too. Yeah.
So, yeah. And come up, introduce yourself, and say, hi, I'm the wiener of KPFT's giveaway.
Oh, wait, here's a sticker.
And you can wear these as jewelry or use them as toys, either way. They're really fashionably cool.
Yeah, he's going to have to come and pick them up. He's not coming during our show to pick those up, so I'm not sure about the...
Can we just put them in an envelope?
Yeah, we're going to be putting them in an envelope.
As long as we seal it.
You want to know what these are also good for? The Mega Stretch silicone pleasure rings are also very effective on the Wii video game. The little...
Yeah, the hand
thing. I heard that.
Thing.
Yeah,
it
you
keeps
were saying
it where
that.
They, they don't slip
I
off.
I take it they don't make a good scrunchie for your hair, though.
No, because they get stuck.
They get a little sticky.
But in a pinch?
But you've got to wash them after you use them, you know, the right way.
hit the one, and then hit the key button.
And that sounded like my message thing,
didn't
it?
I know, I was afraid I'd do something wrong.
In a pinch, they work for a lot of things.
With the pinch, they can work a lot of things.
They'll pinch a lot of things. They'll even work your dryer for you.
If trained for
I love it when they work my dryer.
Okay, we're going to get out of here.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, guys, for letting
thank
us back
you, Sacred
on.
Heart.
You bet. Anytime.
See you guys next weekend.
Yes, Jimmy is coming
out.
Is
this only a 20-second song?
Huh?
The song I'm playing, is it only 20 seconds?
No, it's the first track.
Uh-oh.
I want to hear this song. They were talking about it, and it's supposed to be...
And if it's only 20 seconds.
No, it's only 20 seconds.
It's more than 20 seconds. They must
what's
sing really
the second?
Quickly.
Put it on continuous.
It's a real fast song. Yeah, that's it.
All right. To start off Leather Ties, let's play the CD that I sold to play.
Temperature rises up. Good evening and welcome to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert and this is my radio voice.
And I have to step in and let you know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, let me start over. Hey, this is Daddy Bear Robert T. Thank you for listening to Leather Ties. This is my radio voice. I really sound like Pee Wee Herman.
That's hot.
Tonight's secret word is micturate. Every time you hear micturate, what do? Yeah!
Okay. We are here tonight. The reason you heard that god-awful song by Paul Lekakis... it's because we're here tonight with the owners of Sacred Heart Studios, which is a piercing and tattoo salon, and we're going to be talking about piercing and tattooing. We are here tonight with Diane. Wave to the audience.
Waving.
Earlier she said she kept waving. She's like, I don't understand the difference between radio and TV. And so we are here with Diane and Tim. Welcome. Thank you both for coming. Well, okay, thank you for both showing up. I won't say coming. That's the wrong thing to say on the show.
I told you I'd go anywhere with this, but that's taking it all the way too quickly.
Yeah, that's really, yeah, buy me dinner first, right?
Micturate.
Yeah, how many people are at home listening or driving on the cars, looking up on their PDA dictionary? What is micturate? I don't get it. What is that? You'll find out, trust me. So, the owners of Sacred Heart Studio is the coolest shop that I have ever seen. These people are fantastic. I love the new heart on the door. That is so cool.
Well, we constantly make all kinds of art around the shop, and so, we're working on the outside now, and each of my tattoo artists is going to volunteer some time to, you know, create their own pieces out there. So it should look pretty fantastic here pretty quickly.
Yeah, and you're going neon happy, aren't you, Diane? You want neon in all the windows and all?
Yes. Taking suggestions on color combos, too.
I like the purple and pink you were talking about. That looked really cool on the building.
Mm-hmm. It's more than a fashion show. I mean, we've...
Oh, no, y'all are bimbo.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a fashion show.
It's an ink show, yeah. It's ink and piercing, yeah. That's it. It's all a fashion show. They've got a catwalk set up in the back just for you. Okay, so let's talk about Sacred Heart Studios. What do you all do?
Well, shoot, we've represented piercings in Houston now for over a decade and worked ourselves to the, you know, epitome of current technology and products that are available for piercing. We've acquired some of the greatest artists that have been out there, and they're up to a standard of understanding bloodborne pathogens and cross-contamination to where you're actually in a safe situation. Whereas a lot of folks out there, they may be able to do something graphically, but leaving you
they're
with something latent in your blood that may take a decade. It is never anything fun to get out of your discounted tattoo. That $10 wasn't necessarily worth it, you know?
Yeah. So, now I've noticed...
On a down
what was that,
note.
Diane? Yes, let's just get everybody to change the channel right now. And, you know, and I, in honor of you and me and how old we are and how much fun we used to have at Numbers, I'm making this flashback thrash night with the music, and now you just totally downered us. Now, I didn't bring any smithereens. I don't know what to do now. Because I don't have any slit your wrist music. I brought all the cool stuff.
The magic word, and then when I can incorporate that into every sentence.
Yeah,
you know,
but... But if we use nutsack as the secret word, nobody would hear anything. We'd never get any information out because you'd be using it every other word. That's just not right. That's not fair.
Well, we could change it to balls now.
Nope. The secret word for tonight is the secret night tonight is the M word. We're
okay,
not. We'll talk about balls in a minute, and we mean piercing jewelry balls. Okay.
And pronounce that word again because I don't want them to get it mixed up with the other M word that some other folks might be doing.
Micturate. Okay. So, Tim, you are an incredible piercer. And I've seen you pierce some of the strangest, most unusual places, and they just look fabulous. I mean, Diane, the piercing on your lip is just phenomenal. It's incredible. I love how you do this. Explain to people how this piercing is done.
Oh, well,
The piercing that Diane or that they're talking about right now is a vertical labret piercing through the bottom lip, and it's one of the piercings that people get often to augment sensation. And
now the thing about this piercing is it doesn't go. It's not a traditional labret. It doesn't go back. You don't have any metal hitting your teeth or any jewelry hitting your teeth or your gums or anything.
Exactly. The gum erosion isn't the same problem. And you also get, like I say, a playful, sensitive ball on top of your lip as opposed to the conventional labret piercing that's purely ornamental. So it's a great option for
somebody. No, this actually works really well when it gets caught in other body jewelry. So
ball-on-ball contact, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it can get in the way of other piercings, so, you know.
Yeah, it can get in the way. It can get in the way if you have a septum or something like that, yeah.
Well, you know, and I've had people that have accrued many piercings, and that becomes an issue, you know. There is a certain practicality, and you see great pictures of people with hundreds of pieces of jewelry.
Yeah, but
you
how practical is it?
The practicality of that, too.
Yeah, let's see you get the security at the airport. Yeah.
You
might just scare people from the...
But I joke with my body jewelry. I can just drive by an airport and set off the metal detectors. So, you know, it's
since
like...
Since 9/11, George Bush has made it his business to know who's carrying what in their nipple. And
yeah.
I'm just
happy I've been in four different airports and four airports, three countries. Once I got going in and coming back, I set off the metal detectors. And I'm like... Please, it's surgical steel. You've got those things set way too high. And the poor guy, the security guard that had to, like, pat me down, he's like, they did the metal detector thing. I was wearing 501 jeans. I said, what's the buttons on the jeans? I'm trying to be, you know, polite here. No, the buttons on the jean wouldn't do that. It's the wrong type of metal. I said, okay, well, I have body jewelry. And this guy, he's like maybe 55, 60 years old. And he's like, what? And I was like, I have a big John earring through my pee-pee. And he was like, he puts on these big white gloves, and I was like, you want me to whip it out and show you? There's no gun, there's no bomb, it's just a ring, you know? And he's like, he puts on gloves, and with the back of his hand, he pats me through my jeans, and he goes, ooh! Okay, go. You know?
Nick's right. Now, see, imagine if that man were your date.
No. No.
That's what I say. That's how mortified some folks can be by it all.
Okay, now, if we wanted to, let's get technical for a minute. Different types of piercings. What are they called? What are they? Where are they? A septum goes... Like a bull ring through.
The septum goes through the septum of the nostril. It's anatomically.
What would you normally call just the little nose ring that you see all these little girls getting? You know, they put the little diamond here on their nose on the nostril.
It's the big nose ring with the hoop for the chain. No,
Well, yeah, he's wearing his horns. He's horny.
I thought he was holding onto a pen there for a minute.
Through his nostrils.
It goes through my nose. No, a conventional nostril piercing goes through the fleshy tissue below the cartilage on the nostril, and, you know, there are many conventional piercings. Any of the things that you're talking about are things that have been developed over centuries and work on protruding parts of the body, so there's a lot of things that are defined by mechanics and so on, so... These days, the fun thing is that we're kind of defying the conventional placements and technology.
Because I was going to say, I noticed that you're not wearing any jewelry right here, but you have a piercing on the upper lip where a labret would be on the bottom, but you have yours on the top.
And that's just a similar variety. I mean, they're all a variety of the lip piercing, and, you know, they've all been done, again, for centuries, you know.
Look, I just figured that was so Diane could sew your lips shut.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, you see, I do have a hole below and a hole above. And,
yeah. I mean, so the hole above, what would you call that? Just an augmented labret? I mean, is there a specific name for that type of piercing?
You know, I don't have a specific name for that one. Okay. Exactly. A lot of them are just variations of other piercings. So, you know, you'll see an odd labret.
Yeah. But, well, I noticed when we were in the shop, we stopped by the shop to pick up some jewelry the other day, and you were doing that girl right on the cheekbone, right in front of her ear.
Like I said,
that looked really hot.
Really good.
But, I mean...
Really good.
when it comes to piercing, I know a lot of people are afraid of not just the pain, but nerve damage or anything like that. I mean, are there places you don't pierce that you refuse? You say, no, that will cause damage.
Having a pretty good understanding of anatomy, there's a lot of places that might be thought of as questionable to pierce that we still do. But, I mean, there are people out there that pierce underneath the collarbone and through deep muscular tissue and things where it competes with the body's ability to move and things, and then you end up with something that doesn't heal properly, or if at all, and can cause a great deal of damage deeply enough into the body that you end up with a really bad situation. So, like I say, we try and keep it in the general realm of working with the body. But yes, like I say, these days we have developed some different equipment that goes into the skin, and many people might remember seeing pictures of a guy that's worn a metal mohawk for years and years screws into his head. And this is a variation of that technology that was actually developed by a plastic surgeon's machine fabricator's son.
So he just had the fetish for.
He just happened to
they
have.
They call that what? Like microdermal
implants. Okay. Exactly, microdermal implants. Right.
I've noticed they become real popular. You even see kids. I say kids because I'm old, but you know, when you turn anybody over 35, when you turn 40, I mean you're old. You're retired. You're not human anymore.
Never
as far
trust
as most
anyone
people.
Over 20.
Yeah,
that 30.
That concept. Something. No, I think it's 25. I think, but. You end up, they're doing like rings where they do the microdermal plate, and then they can screw on different gemstones and stuff like that on their fingers so it looks like a ring. Wow. I've seen them all. We were at one shop, and we saw this guy. He had them going down the center of his chest on the breastbone.
Right.
It's like, that's going to make it really hard to roll over and sleep at night, you know?
Well, again, the physics of the body, right. You can end up with something that looks great in pictures for a brief amount of time and then has to be pulled for its
discomfort. I was going
to
say, long-term, is that an advisable kind of a piercing?
You know, like I say, the dermal implants are a new technology, and a lot of people are just running wild with it. And placing them in places that might not mechanically be well suited. Like you saw
your body
the
would
person
reject
that
it.
I was working with the other day, she had a fleshier piece of tissue on the cheek to where there wasn't a constant like friction and wasn't a constant tugging. And
it wasn't competing with the cheekbone, the bone itself.
It wasn't competing with pressure from the cheekbone underneath, exactly. And so hers would probably work well. Someone with a much tighter face might potentially have a piercing only last a couple of weeks.
Well, Joan Rivers, but she wouldn't feel it. With all the Botox in her face, she wouldn't feel it anyway.
You never know.
I don't know if you could get a piercing through that. It's probably like steel.
Right?
Our tissue and implantation, I'm not sure that you could get a piercing through her.
Mm.
What's the most unusual piercing you've done? Yeah.
Oh,
I know what
yours, Clayton. Yours.
Mine isn't the most original.
No, you said unusual.
Oh, unusual.
What, Diane? What?
The male chastity belt.
Oh shoot.
Well, I mean,
amongst all the great stories,
that's kind of what the Prince Albert was for, wasn't it?
The Prince Albert was a fashion piece. From Prince Albert back in
right, but I thought the whole point of that was he got the geisha underneath, and she would lock the rings together so he couldn't cheat because he was such a whore. He was a himbo.
No, I don't understand that to be the story. I understand that
because I've heard so many versions of this story.
To secure his penis to the proper side of his pants.
Oh, that's right.
For tights.
I've heard that one too. I've heard that one too.
And that's my understanding.
Okay, so that's where it came from.
But we did have a person that had done a. Well, the master had done on her slave, I guess, a ring at the tip of the penis in Prince Albert placement, and then one in the testicles below. And her intention was that he had enough room with a lock between the two rings that he could move around for, you know, to aim at a toilet or whatever. But if he were to dare get hard, it would tug with such discomfort, he would automatically lose
his erection.
So there you go.
But that's what I'm saying. The story I had always heard was that it was developed because Prince Albert was such a himbo
hey,
that he had to be locked in place
like that.
Probably that's the real story.
But I mean, you never know. But
that's a far more exciting story. But
you try to read this and get historical data on this, and it's always, you know, the dress right kind of thing. It's like, I really don't think so, considering what a whore he was.
Mictrate.
You got to stop saying that.
Well, you know, you got to understand the guys used to ride horses.
And I can't say, you can't say the word if you don't know what it means, because he knows what the word means. So that's cheating.
That's what I say. I can't work it into a sentence here. I'm trying to.
Here, wait. Okay. When we go to our first musical interlude, I will tell you what it means. And then
no,
you can
I know.
Okay. Now, questions. Somebody has inverted nipples. Would you do a nipple piercing on them? Or would you say no,
you know,
because of the structure of your nipple?
Exactly,
it's not a good piercing.
That's,
I mean,
you're a genius there to think of that. Yes, that's a way that I'm talking about, that we don't want to fight the body. And somebody with an inverted nipple piercing can have it very quickly migrate. The metal, unfortunately, is tougher than your skin.
And
so,
it's
going to
come right back out.
And so, you know, when your nipple gets split in half, we can pierce
both
pieces and tries
to flap the skin. Yeah.
Yeah, just like two penises, you know, when it breaks apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris just walked in on that one.
And on that note.
Okay, do you find that you... we're talking about men's piercings, things like that. Let's talk about women's piercings. I mean, because I see so many things online, and I see so many things in videos, and I know so many women that have vaginal piercings, labia piercings, things like that. How safe is that for a woman?
Oh, you know,
considering the sensitive area that
is. It's a sensitive area. A lot of people are super concerned that they may have something be broken. And, yeah, you don't want to have somebody break that. They'll come back and really be upset. But, no, if done properly, most of them are safe in the genital areas, you know, even though you're thinking that it's a super sensitive area and stuff. Most of the nerves are buried a little deeper in the body than where the piercings go, and so long as you don't try and defy, you know, your anatomy there, you could break somebody's clitoris, or you could make somebody's penis never erectable again.
Erectable.
Erectable,
is that a verb?
No, I don't think that's a real word. That's a cool word. It sounds cool.
Can break a penis.
Yes, you can break a penis. Trust me.
I've broken a penis.
Yeah.
I used to be able to pop mine.
Thank
Does
goodness
that
it wasn't a permanent.
Oh. Like, I crack it like
yeah,
a knuckle.
That's not good.
I think we need a demonstration.
No.
Oh. No.
No. No. No. No. No.
Victory.
Victory.
Okay. Now, would it be proper to say that? With a fresh Prince Albert, I'm consulting my person here that came up with our word. When you have a new Prince Albert and it's obstructing the urinary path just at first a little bit, it would be difficult to...
Micturate. For those of you who don't know, I'll go ahead and say it now. When you say, I have to urinate, that is incorrect. The correct term when the fluid passes out of your body is micturate, not urinate. Urinate, please, Mr. RN, tell us.
Urinate has to do with fluid going from your kidneys to your bladder. When
that
you're going
is
from
what
your bladder going to outside of your body is micturition.
Every day.
Well, see. Yeah,
so when somebody says they have to urinate, so then what are you getting up for? Your body's doing all the work. When they say they have to micturate, then say get out or flash your yellow hanky, one of the two.
Now they say you learn something every day.
So that's what micturate means. Yes. Micturate actually means taking the lead.
The more you know. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Hey, maybe this is a good time for some like front 242.
Oh, that means I gotta put the CD.
Well, what do you got out there?
What
yeah,
do you
try putting.
I was eating pie.
I won't say a word, but.
I'm gonna
buy
a hanky here.
Please, stop.
So we're gonna take a musical interlude. I'm just saying interlude because Jimmy hates when I say interlude. So we're gonna have a musical interlude. We can play some Front 242 and maybe another song, maybe like Nitzareb or somebody like that, and then we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. I'm your host for tonight. Tonight we are talking with Sacred Heart Studio, Shut Up Virgin. I swear, next month I'm bringing a ball gag just for you.
Oh, you will?
I will. I'm bringing a ball gag just for you.
Yes. So maybe the size here of a medicine ball.
Yeah, he can unhinge his jaws. Like, no, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get another piercing on his upper lip like Tim has, and we're just going to sew his lips together. That's what we're going to do.
The Velcro boy.
Yeah, we'll do like a Saw 4 kind of thing, sew your lips together.
I'm the son of a surgeon. I can do stitches. Really.
That's okay, and he's a nurse. He can take care of it.
I can assist.
Yeah, he can do that too.
Speaking of all you nurses and everything being around, have these been wiped down lately? They're kind of...
I guess, what do you, has what been wiped down? Your the dripping microphone, or are you talking?
I haven't done a show like that.
I got something sticky in my ear.
No, the last time we did a sloshy, squishy show, we got kind of suspended. But it wasn't us that did it, so I'm not worried. I have yet to offend anybody that badly.
Yet.
Yeah. At I'm least working, not on the show.
I'm working, not on the show. Bite
the
me.
Show.
Bite me. In a fun place, too, okay? So we're here tonight with Sacred Heart Studios, Tim and Diane. They are fantastic, fantabulous people. And we are talking about piercing right now. And one thing I want to get into, Tim and I were talking during the musical interlude, Jimmy. We were talking about larger piercings like earplugs and things like that. And piercing through cartilage, like on the top of the ear, you see a lot of that. Let's talk about that and how that's done.
The ear
stretching.
Is one of the most common piercings that you see. And you might notice a lot of folks out there all of a sudden that have earrings that are quite sizable, and the skin is wrapped all the way around the ornament of the jewelry instead of just being pierced through a thin part. And that's done by stretching up, and we do that with a lot of different piercings. We have a lot of clients with nipple piercings, for instance, that can be stretched up to, you know, a quarter of an inch or so.
Mm-hmm.
And
Is there a possibility of actually stretching too far?
Absolutely.
Like your ears, all of a sudden, you
have to.
Ear plugs,
too far and too fast on any piercing can cause an irregular scarring. And I myself have great experience with this because I went to a plastic surgeon once. I had bad scarring on the back of my ears from stretching them too quickly. And he said $800 an ear, but if you have a knife, you can chop that off yourself, you know.
No, thank you.
I actually, you know, kind of smiled and said, you know, I have a knife, and, you know.
Yeah, I think I will save myself $800 an ear.
And, you know, the guy did finally say, well, you know, dude, it's still $800 an ear to fix it, so if you'd like to try it yourself, please feel free. I'll see you next week.
Okay, now... Piercing in the fatty tissue, like an earlobe, compared to piercing in the cartilage in the upper ear, is there a difference in healing time?
They're a whole different animal. And again, you see, cartilage piercings is one of the most common piercings out there. And they take like a year to heal in a lot of cases with people with long hair that are constantly have them oily and stuff. And I've actually had a client that had a whole chunk the size of a quarter like rot out of her ear. But I think that was probably her fault letting it go too far. But, you know, there can be catastrophic failure of tissue there.
Well, let's talk about, let's talk about caring for a piercing. You get a piercing, especially in some place that is going to have, well, I call it high traffic. I mean, the lip area, the upper ear, the genital area, there's constantly going to be high traffic as far as germs, stuff, people touching, you touching, stuff that's not clean. I mean, how do you keep your piercings clean? How do you maintain your piercing so your body doesn't reject it or your ear rots off?
In generalization, you know,
Diane's just sitting over here laughing. What?
She's envisioning some of the scary piercings that we've seen with people that
haven't done a
proper aftercare or have deep folds to the body that they don't appropriately clean, being unaware that it might injure, you know, or get into their piercing. But, yeah, aside from all the horror stories you can envision, basic aftercare is just simple soap and water with a small squeezing action to help expel fluids. And like I said, it's a generalization. Things will take 2 months to heal in some cases and a year to heal in others. So there is a lot of specifics to each experience. But
Okay, which piercings in general hang?
There is a school of thought out there of folks that tell you, as a piercing artist, that their aftercare is solely to soak it in a saltwater solution. And I'd like to point out here now that's against the law for anybody that pierces or tattoos out there that knows about this thing. In the state of Texas, you must tell people to use a soap and water solution. Studios vary place to place on what they might recommend. But if they just tell you to casually soak some water on it with some salt put in it, that's completely an inappropriate thing. And we see problems from piercings all the time where people have that bad information.
Well, I hear salt, water, I've heard. But, okay, alcohol, things you won't use. Alcohol, peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide, it burns
all
the skin.
All dries it out.
It dries out your skin and burns your skin.
You like have 14 trillion friendly bacteria working in conjunction on your body, so
you just
continually pouring a chemical on it can kill the friendly bacteria that are trying to help you heal. And so it can be detrimental far more than helping you.
So when you say soap and water, are you talking like an antibacterial soap, a liquid soap, or ivory bar soap? What kind of soap are we talking about?
We've been recommending Dr. Bronner's Peppermint Castile soap simply because it's a nice organic soap. It's mild, like we were saying. It's not like Dial where it's got lots of foaming agents
or
chemicals.
Perfumes,
things that are actually
the
like,
bubblegum flavored antibacterial soaps aren't necessarily going to be any better for your piercing than straight bar soap of Zest or something. I say you do want to have something that's kind of biocompatible, and the products we've been using have been around for forever, have been used in the piercing industry for 20 years and plus with great results.
And what is this soap again that you like
Dr.
to recommend?
Dr. Bronner's, they make a whole line of soaps, but and they're all organic, no chemicals.
Excellent.
But they have a peppermint castile soap, which is just
good. And there's actually a difference between soap and detergent.
Yeah, that peppermint is good and makes your skin feel nice and tingly.
And detergent is a chemical equivalent of soap. It foams up and cleans stuff, but it is, like I say, a chemical derivative of things that do something similar to the natural product soap, like what we use on it. And again, pouring chemicals on it can be disruptive to your own body.
Yeah.
And slow down the healing process.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if it's on an important part of your body, you can imagine that cell by cell, you can encourage migration. And if you cut one of those things in half that you've pierced, you might be pleased with the results, but most times it's shocking.
Diane, she's like,
tell them that horror story about the PA.
we have, I stretched my ears too fast and got bad scar tissue, but we have had clients that stretched too fast and actually split the tissue and,
against you telling them don't do it yet, you're not ready, and they go do it anyway?
Well, exactly. There's body jewelry available online, so there's no stopping anybody with their intention, but, listening to somebody
who knows
will sometimes do you some good.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I know for a fact when, with his piercing, when he went to upgrade it, you said, no, it's not ready yet. It's not healed enough to do this. So, you flat out said, no, not yet. Wait.
Absolutely.
So. And it's difficult out there. I say people get the urge, and it's as much as piercing is fashion, it's also a great release that people go through. Some people are into the adrenaline, and some people just the pain helps erase a moment that they're focusing on and things. So oftentimes it's really hard to tell somebody it's not appropriate or not ready. But I say working with your body and your artist can really save you thousands of dollars in surgery or complete,
rejection.
Or your life.
Yeah.
Or your life.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking scary, horror stories, things like this. Percentage-wise, I mean, obviously, piercing would not be as popular as it is if this was so dangerous and so prevalent. But basically, rejection, infection, that comes from aftercare or not properly doing your aftercare.
Or an unhealthy lifestyle, yeah.
Unhealthy lifestyle and environment. I mean, it's been recommended that you change your sheets after getting freshly pierced and things like that. Anything that you have in your environment can be brought into your freshly done piercing. So,
you need to treat it like any other cut. I mean,
no.
Why? That's what I'm asking.
No, don't.
Okay.
Tell us.
Now,
tell
some, us. Here's some other things I've also heard. Here's some other wonderful little things you hear as far as how to take care of piercings. Use Neosporin, use antibacterial cream, use this, use that.
Now, all of those might be appropriate for a splinter in your finger, but you imagine a splinter in your finger, you want the body to migrate it out so the skin stays soft and it floats to the surface. And if you encourage your piercing to do the same thing, it will float to the surface and then you've lost all the work.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the best thing to do is just nice clean soap and water and...
And stay away from... peroxide and rubbing alcohol and Neosporin.
Yeah.
Any kind of ointments, you know, or...
Try to stay all natural is pretty much... Anything with harsh chemicals, stay away from it.
Yes.
Yeah, and that even includes things like swimming pools and things.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Chlorine can dry you out a lot.
That's one thing I was going to ask. Chlorine, bromine, all the different things, chemicals they use in swimming pools. You get a fresh piercing, I mean, you go swimming, you got a pool in the backyard or a pool in your complex... When is it going to be safe to... How long do you normally, like, say with earrings or a labret or a nose ring or something
again,
like that?
Again, every project's different. With healing times being so different, you can swim with an earlobe piercing and not cover it a lot sooner than you can swim with a nipple piercing and not cover it. And fortunately, a nipple piercing is easily covered. Genital piercings aren't so easily covered. So, you know, it puts a little bit of restriction on your lifestyle for a brief amount of time. And, you know, you just, again, have to be patient and...
But it also matters. It also depends on how fast that person heals. Because, I mean, some people have a higher metabolism or a higher heal...
Exactly, and people have compromised immune systems from all different reasons, being ill and
dietary, whatever,
and environmental and stuff. So,
While we're there, can I ask a question that
please.
I've been in my mind for quite a while? What is the stand on piercing or tattooing someone who is HIV positive?
Well, there you go.
That's a good question.
I know for a fact that, you know, from experience that people don't always put down on their consent forms truthful information.
Sure.
And so a lot of people aren't going to want you to feel uncomfortable with that. And we have to treat everybody as if there's the potential for them to be, you know, a potential spreader of disease. Just because somebody's cute doesn't mean they're not clean.
And it's
clean,
so much easier to get hepatitis C than it is to get
HIV lives outside the body for under a half an hour. And
much less than that.
It almost dies immediately when it's touched by oxygen.
Yeah. Okay, well, in a drop of blood or something, I guess, is maybe what I'm referring to. But hepatitis B outside the body can live for up to a week. And that's the big concern. There are a lot of folks out there that may already be potentially infected, and it may not even show up on a blood test for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And some 8,500 healthcare professionals a year contract hepatitis B, and a couple hundred of those cases actually end up having liver failure and going all the way to death. People in the piercing and tattoo industry are exposed to the same kind of risks and more so. Lots of physicians don't do entirely invasive things all the time, and we do compromise the body's ability to defend itself from, you know, outside contaminants by pushing something into the skin. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the environment that we, you know, pierce out of, I hear, you know, people say, oh, well, if you pierce somebody at home and da-da-da. And, I mean, I'm just horrified knowing what I know now to think of all the things that, I mean, if you touch this, it goes on to there and then directly into your body. And it's a real serious art form. But people with HIV... it can potentially make your body not heal as well, you know, so you have to personally consider that for yourself. As far as I understand, I don't believe we're legally allowed to turn somebody down solely on the basis that they have a communicable disease.
Oh.
I mean, it's our responsibility to, you know, treat everybody equally, but like I say, it is our responsibility also to educate them that in that your system is compromised.
Yes.
It may in fact be more difficult for, especially like a long healing piercing,
tattoos heal up in, you know, a couple of weeks. It's very superficial compared to putting, you know, an ampoule going all the way through the head of the penis or something.
Mm-hmm. So if a patient, if a client. Customer comes in and they have HIV and they let you know that they do, what do you do?
Well, like I say, it's our responsibility to educate them as to how it can affect their project. Like I say, we treat everybody with the same standard that is potentially communicable.
The smart thing to do is just assume everyone who walks in is HIV positive.
Right. What I assume. Everybody has hepatitis, and then that keeps me and everyone in the shop from ever getting anything from anybody else.
Yes.
Because I just assume everybody has...
Well, that's the way we do it in healthcare.
Any bodily fluid and any piece of dust off their clothing is a contaminant to me, and that's a lot higher standard than physicians employ in their offices. So.
That's a fight that the gay community fought 20 years ago with dentists.
Well, I mean, it still goes on today. Though,
where HIV people were being turned away by dentists, and there were court cases on
HIV
that.
HIV people being turned down by dentists, doctors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dentists would refuse to fill a cavity because they're HIV, that kind of thing.
And so,
I mean, for us, we leave it up to the individual artist, of course, because, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it may make the artist uncomfortable, and that may make them perform poorly, and you wouldn't want it to be a distraction. So if that were an artist's discretion that they were uncomfortable with it, again, they might, you know, have a reasoning that they could say, but I say most artists that are practicing with a secure knowledge of what they're doing will understand that they aren't supposed to get anything from anybody.
You're
not an AIDS client, not a person with a cold.
Right. So what is the, is there any kind of legal, is there any laws about turning people away because they are HIV positive?
No.
Or?
No. There are no laws on the books about discriminating against somebody because of HIV. Just like they discriminate against gay people, there's no law on the book that says we can get married. There's no law on the books that say we can't be fired from our job because we're gay.
Actually...
Not in Texas.
Lawrence versus Texas, we are not illegal anymore.
Yeah, but that's also in appeal. So who knows what's going to happen next year once that's appealed, if they overturn it or not. I mean, for the next however months, we're protected, but that decision was how many... That was barely a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
3 years.
2 years ago. 3 years ago?
Three.
But they'll just keep appealing that forever. Come on. But, I mean, at least right now, at least they overturned the sodomy law. But...
Thank God for
that. I do know.
Yeah, for gay and straight alike in Texas,
I mean, I do know people that have gone to a tattoo parlor and the tattoo artist has said, no, I will not tattoo you because you're HIV.
And like I say, I think that if your artist tells you that they're uncomfortable with it, then as opposed to forcing them to do it, you may in fact be better off. And, there is not any standard set by anybody saying that if we refuse your service, we'll be penalized for it. But at the same time, I there's nothing saying that we can refuse service.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But like you said, any legitimate artist is going to treat everyone as if they have hepatitis C, HIV, and every other disease known to mankind to protect everyone.
Exactly. We're not only responsible for our own personal safety, but the guys that we work next to and everybody that walks into the shop.
Sure.
So, yes.
Let's talk about the sterile environment. I mean, you do a lot of piercings. What kind of environment is considered sterile? What if I walked into a piercing salon?
Sterile and clean are two different terms.
What would what would be a red flag for me to saying
not to go
this
in?
This is not an environment that I want to get pierced in because I see them doing this when they.
Well, an outward environment is pretty obvious. I mean, if you look around and you see dirt and dust, you got to think about the little bugs that are crawling around in the dirt and dust. And then those bugs leave behind waste products and half-consumed food, and little things live on that.
And then that ecosystem melts down
one more, and little things are living on the poop from the animal above it. Mm-hmm. And so, like I say, a visibly unclean environment has more microorganisms, you know, present on every surface than you could be aware of. The microorganisms are invisible. So, like I say, visible dirt and visible debris from previous tattoos or ink spots on the walls and flooring and things like that are a good indicator that there aren't proper precautions, like I say, for the employees and people working around the place, much less the general public.
Yeah. I always check the bathroom. That's always a good one.
I hate to belabor the subject, but I want to go back to the issue of doing a patron that comes in and is HIV positive. They tell you this. Do you have artists that will deal with that?
Yes.
Yes. Like I say, it's to the individual's discretion, but our people will usually accommodate you. And like I say, if for some reason they are uncomfortable, if you have open blisters, for instance, related to the disease, it may be inappropriate.
Right. That's understandable, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if they're physically intact.
Physically intact and mentally competent, then there shouldn't be any reason that there should be any more dangerous than the housewife they were just talking on the news tonight about 25% of the girls in high school right now carrying sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah.
And those are communicable through tattoo and piercing just as quickly. That's a one quarter of the girls in high school currently.
But
I pierce those people every day.
Just for, if I went into to get a piercing or a tattoo, and the artist was not
comfortable
with me for any reason, because I had blue eyes, because I'm 60 years old, but, you know, whatever reason, I would probably want to go to someone else.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would think, I mean, it's just like when you walk into a bar or walk into a restaurant or any other place of business, you usually see a sign that says we have the right to refuse service to anyone.
Right.
But I would think that if you're going to refuse the right to serve them, you would at least say, I'm not comfortable doing this. Let me give you a name of another guy who might be able to help you.
Sure.
Or let me refer you to another artist or another piercer who would be more comfortable doing this for you.
Or if the owners of the establishment say, you know, we don't tattoo HIV positive people.
Well, is it really the owner, or is it just the artist saying, well, that's our policy, and how are you going to know if it's their policy or not? I mean, they could be lying, but then again, that's probably a red flag that I don't want to go here.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, an artist should be completely comfortable with you, they're going to do work with a bias, like you say, whether they're holding an age against you or just ideas.
But again, I know a tattoo artist, he will tattoo a woman in a private area, but he will not tattoo a man in that private area, because he's not comfortable doing that on a man.
Sure.
And he has said, no, I won't tattoo you there.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like.
Sounds like he's repressed.
Yeah, I don't know. But
you got to respect somebody's feeling of what makes them uncomfortable, though, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if I want a tattoo on my dick and that guy is not comfortable doing it, I'd
say, okay, fine, thank you. Tell me somebody who is that you know is a reputable artist, and I'll go interview them. And maybe, if they're lucky, they'll be allowed to touch my penis.
Is this an oral interview?
Yes. With Jimmy, it would be, okay?
Yeah.
With Jimmy, it'd be an oral interview.
Yeah. Well, but you do interview the people that are going to do your piercing.
You should.
Who's doing your tattoos and stuff like that.
Like we were saying, they have the potential to change your life in a lot of ways.
Well, they have a potential to kill you or seriously disable you. Yes.
Exactly.
I'd want to see examples of their artwork and people that they've done.
Oh, very good. Portfolios are a good way to also examine people's work. Unfortunately, not every piece of artwork that somebody represents is something that they actually did. And so, with people being dishonest out there, people's portfolios will sometimes disappear from a shop, and you know somebody's out there representing themselves.
Shopping that portfolio.
Saying
it's their work.
But, I say, most you would probably be able to tell from other indicators that they didn't seem very
up and up, you know. So,
but again, when
how
I've,
people conduct themselves when I've reveals
my,
a lot.
When I've gotten my piercings and my tattoos done, I'll go to a shop and I will hang out and see how the employees interact. I will see how the
oh my God, does he hang out for forever?
Wow.
Well, the hangout part I questioned.
I was going to say,
he's only saying that because this evening I was like, I didn't want to cook. He didn't want to cook. I'm hungry. I'm going to go get some food. Well, we were working in the house all day, so I'm just wearing a sheer pair of mesh shorts. So I threw on a tank top and jumped in the vehicle. Went to Wendy's and thought, oh, I need to stop and get a carton of cigarettes. And I started to get out of the vehicle. And I, well, no, I can't go in the store like this. I'll get arrested.
So, was your ring caught in your shorts or what?
No. It's a micro mesh. It was a micro mesh. But it was sheer. No, the shorts
on your PA?
The shorts I was wearing.
That was a worry, not the
Microsoft. No, the worry was I was driving back. And I was like, I could see the sparkle in my lap. And did I drop my cell phone? It's like, no, it's my PA. Oh, damn, I'm wearing the wrong pair of shorts. So I had to drive back to the house. And I was like, okay. That's where that comes from, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, but I mean, when I've gotten my tattoo work done,
yeah,
I've gone into the tattoo parlor. And I just kind of watched. I looked at some designs and thought, oh, that would be cool, that'd be cool. But yeah, I'm looking at the designs, but what I'm really looking at and watching is the people that work sure. there, how they interact with the people that are coming in the door. And I'm also watching the artists to see how they are working, you know, with the needle. I mean, are they just slicing your skin open or are they actually tattooing properly? Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to do your research before you do anything. I went to 2 or 3 different tattoo parlors, and then I went back to the one that I thought was sure. the most comfortable and they treated their people the best.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And also realize that a lot of artists can't show their complete portfolio because there are people that have things that are their artwork. And they don't want it to be on everybody else.
That's true. In tattoos, yeah, exactly. People don't want photographs taken and so on so that people
now, the two
don't
of you,
end up with similar...
Exactly.
Yeah. So some people do enjoy having the same tribal R band when they meet each other and it becomes a whole bonding experience. Sure. So there's a whole other end of the tattoo industry.
I know, I can't imagine.
Hey, but my sister got married. She and her third husband... No, wait, it was her second husband. She and her second husband eloped. They flew to Florida. I drove up to watch the kids for a week while they decided to elope. They met this really cool hippie priestess who married them on the beach, and she said, well, come on out. I've got a wedding at 12. I can do your wedding at 1, because they wanted to get married on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Because after that, then they were going to go, what do you call those jet ski things?
Yeah. Sea-doos.
Sea-doos. They were going to go sea-dooing. And so they show up to watch this previous wedding to see what she was doing with this other wedding, and it was two leather biker bears getting married, and they didn't exchange finger rings, they exchanged PAs.
Oh!
And my sister was like, she was like, it was so scary, but it was so beautiful. So after they drove off on their matching Harleys with their matching PA rings, she got married.
That's great.
Yeah, the matching tattoo thing. Well, that was just, that was a symbol.
There's two of them, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then we have these. Until the bearings get done.
And then...
But now, y'all are heavily tattooed. Have you had your work done by several different artists? You have just one person that you prefer to go to do your work?
You know, being heavily covered in tattoos is usually something that you end up collecting from a lot of different artists. And I have a lot of different color work that's just absolutely brilliant and done by, you know, people with different styles and techniques, but still, you know, achieved a brilliant result.
Yeah, if you go into their shop, they've been on the cover of magazines, tattoo magazines.
We've represented Houston around the world.
And piercing ones, too.
Won a lot of awards.
Tons of awards. And you can look at these magazine covers and these pictures from the magazine and see this beautiful work, and then turn around and there they are, and it's even more vibrant and beautiful.
Wow.
This artwork is just incredible on their bodies. But, so, you kind of collect... Artists, because I know a lot of... you collect artists, because I know a lot of tattoo people.
Owner.
They will go to the tattoo contests and things like that where they have the vendors and they have all the different tattoo artists, and they will seek out their favorite tattoo artists to get a tattoo from that artist.
Sure.
So you're,
it's
you
like
collect
collecting
artists.
Any kind of art. Yeah,
so
except it's on your body.
A lot of your work has been done by different people.
You know, all of my work has been done by different people, but it's all been done in my shop.
Yeah.
I like to keep control of the environment, and I had one done at a convention.
A-type personality.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that.
You know, at conventions with carpeting as the flooring and things, the day has passed that we know enough and we have enough at our disposal that we should be beyond the standards that a lot of stuff is done at still these days.
Well, you guys are still, they can come in and do an inspection.
Oh, yeah. And
they can.
And unfortunately, we only have a handful of people in the state of Texas for the entire state of Texas. In the Houston community, we have a few hundred licensed facilities around. So,
and you get one person for all of Houston that's got to check out 200 shops. That's overkill.
Oh, yeah.
They need
There's probably one person to check out all 500.
Yeah.
And so, like I say, that's, you're lucky if you get inspected physically. And like I say, it comes down to you actually going in and physically inspecting a facility.
But your shop is always so perfect.
And clean.
Clean.
Well, that's why I say that outward representation and that,
you
know, that
but
visible
you got one employee that I just don't like. Renee, she is just a mean, wicked woman. There's something wrong with Renee, I'm telling you right now. That blue
hair. She
better
be listening right now.
Yeah, she's not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna
We're
going
to quiz her tomorrow
I'm gonna
about
this,
everything.
Well, I'm going to put this on a CD and I say, Renee, I don't love you anymore because you didn't come be on the show tonight because you wanted to stay home with your boyfriend. Yeah, okay. We love you, Renee.
I need to jump in here and remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
Lots of attitude.
Right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston. And always on the World Wide Web at dubcubed.kpft.org.
And like I said, you can download the shows.
Yes.
Off the website. You can listen to it online. If you're not listening now, well, if
this
you're not listening now, then you won't know to go to the website, will you?
This show is archived at KPFT for 4 weeks. Or you can go to gcam.org.
M as in Mary.
Yes, where it is archived for the last 2 years.
Yes, all the shows for
every show
after hours is archived at GCAM.
Yes.
So, I'm going to put this on a CD for y'all.
Oh, great.
And I want you to make sure Renee at least listens to this last little 4 minutes or so.
Okay.
You know, just to let her know that I think she's horrible. And she needs to be fired. But
at least severely disciplined.
Severely disciplined, but...
I like that.
We want her disciplined after Clayton gets his new jewelry.
That's right.
Yeah.
So wait until then. Otherwise, she might like...
spit on it.
Yeah. And then throw it in the... or after she takes it out of the enclave. Yeah. So let's talk about awards. Y'all have like... been voted best tattoo shop and piercing shop how many bazillion years in a row?
You know, we've gotten a variety of awards from a bunch of different places, and the Houston Press has given us awards for cleanliness and
friendly,
you know,
environment,
piercing,
Outsmart. You've gotten awards from
we go.
City Search has been giving us awards every year for the past few years for the shop.
So these people
not
know what
mention,
they're doing.
Not to mention Diane's personal gamut of awards here for her tattoos that she represents on her body here. And
you have beautiful work on you. You really have some gorgeous ink on
you. But she's also beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Well, yeah, it doesn't hurt that you got like the Angelina Jolie lips and, you know, and you got, you know, the bosoms.
The bosoms.
The zumbas.
That lips just like that because we pierced it there. It was like when you were Angelina last week.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, God, that was like 3 weeks ago now.
Oh.
It was.
Four weeks ago.
Four
weeks. Yeah, it was because I came in here. Yeah, four weeks ago. Got the labrays done. So now we have matching tattoo rings and matching LeBrays and matching PAs and blah, 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 blah. We're turning into the Hellraiser twins.
Right.
But when Tim did my LeBray, my lips swelled up. I mean, instantly my lips swelled up. Clayton's lips didn't swell up like that. My bottom lips swelled up so much they called me Angelina for like a week. They called me AJ because my lips swelled up so big it looked like Angelina Jolie's lips after she had collagen injections.
No. So, oh, has she had... Those aren't real?
No, those are real. That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine those big old lips of hers with collagen? Just
right?
To blow them up a little bigger?
Okay.
Tell me she'd not look like a really... I won't say it. Never mind. Micturate, micturate, micturate. But... Now, we've talked a lot about piercing. Let's talk about ink and tattooing and the artists that you have there and the work that they do.
Yeah, our artists, they use,
India ink and tempera paint.
I was going to say, they use a nail tats. And, like, the little
the nail
stick
and,
to
the
knock
nail
it.
And the stick. Wow, that is so... No. That's uber tribal.
No, like I say, we've come a long way since... having a sharpened stick and another to wrap on it there.
And they don't look like prison tattoos either.
Well, no, that's, I say that's the artist
Shh.
Capability.
You're talking about Tim's work now. Shh. Andrew.
Is it the hand restraints that have you confused?
Well, yeah. Those would pass as handcuffs. Yeah. Well, no, they're not County Orange. I know they're...
I'm sorry. Where were we? Oh,
we're
ink.
Talking about the ink and your tattoo artists and the work that they do.
Oh, shoot. You know,
bang.
Like I say, we've wow. been... blessed to have these really great artists, and mm-hmm. we draw things all custom, and that's one of the unique things about the shop that people love, is that instead of, going and getting something that you might end up seeing on a beach in Mexico, you're certainly going to get the one-of-a-kind thing, and, you know, it is a service industry, too, so finding personalities that work as artists and as people that... You know, are fun to be around can be a real hard challenge. But we've got a great crew now, and like I say, they're just as individual artists, they're all exceptional in both skills as an artist and as a scientist and technician to keep it safe.
Okay, one reason why I come by so much and love to hang out at the shop isn't because of you two.
Okay.
It's because I love to go in and look on the walls. All the artwork that they're drawing and designing for all these different tattoos.
Yes.
Every time you go in there, you see different artwork being designed and drawn. And
they're all painters. And
yeah, they're all incredible artists. They really are. And... Yeah. Some of the work they come up with is like, ooh, I want that, but that's for someone else. They'll never let me have that one.
Well, we see a lot of work every day that people regret having gotten because the technician that put the artwork down did a very poor job. And having it lasered off is so, so difficult expensive.
Say you get a kind of iffy, bad tattoo, maybe some fuzzy lines, the color wasn't filled in right, you don't like it. Can you
get... We usually chop the limb off.
Well, yeah.
Oh, what if it's a torso?
Wait, no, I was... Yeah, I saw that movie. What is that? Helen in a Box?
Boxing
or
Helena.
Boxing Helena?
Helena.
Yeah.
Yes.
There we go.
Personally, I was thinking the Black Dahlia murders.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean,
Can you save them?
Save them. I mean,
some
clean them up. And
some you can. Some you can't. Some you can have lasered... To what? Fainter colors, so they can be covered up. In this
as
day and age,
as
there are a lot of answers to it, rather than just getting
stuck
with something
bad. Yeah, but
even
artists that collect work are oftentimes going, well, shoot, my friend did it, and it's cute and all, but I think I want to have it lasered off so I can get good tattoos.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep in mind that even with the technology we have today, lasering a tattoo off costs about five times as much as getting the tattoo in the first place. And so remember that if you're going to get a tattoo, this is permanent. This is on your body forever, and it's going to cost about $8,000-$9,000 to get it lasered off. And it takes 7 or 8 treatments going back and having them laser and peel your skin 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, they use multiple spectrums of lasers, so it's more than
it's
one
a lot
process.
More painful than
you
just the tattoo.
You remove one color at a time, and It's now, very slow and expensive, yeah.
Your artists, I've noticed, they do... You have people that come in and sit down with your artists, and they work with their customer, with their client, to design the right tattoo, the right look. Because I've seen the same person come in two or three times talking, and they are sitting there modifying...
Well, of course, that's every artist's worst nightmare when you do drawing for them and you come back a week later and they say, you know, that's great, but I really wanted the guy kind of kneeling and I really wanted the flames wrapping. But I mean,
but it, tweaking the design, but you do work with. Your
well, that's
you
what I was
going to
say.
That, too bad. That's what you're getting.
That's
bitch.
Every artist's you know? Worst nightmare.
Well,
but of
yeah.
course, an accommodating artist.
Wait, wait, wait. What was that, Diane?
I said most of them are accommodating. No, I'm okay. just kidding. But I mean. Except for super genius Mark Anthony, who draws right on you. And
yeah.
So you can't really see the drawing until you're actually there in the chair.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mark Anthony is brilliant.
Oh, it's amazing.
My best friend celebrates a certain anniversary every year, and he's gotten each of his anniversary tattoos at your show.
Oh, great.
Oh, see,
great.
That's every day we find out.
A lot
that
of people do that, commemorate that, special events. It's,
okay, so
it's
here's everybody's one question I have. You have recently taken on an apprentice.
Oh, so, she's wonderful.
How does somebody even apply for that kind of a job? How do you say, hi, I want to come in and start poking people with needles. Teach me how.
Well, you know, first thing I remind them is, you know, when you have somebody's legs spread open wide there and you're, like, right there with your face 6 inches away and you're...
Wear a clothespin on your nose.
You're really, you know, in an intense situation. Sometimes folks will be immediately turned off and have second thoughts. Oh, maybe that isn't what I wanted to pursue. But, if you can get somebody that's not scared of that initial image, then you can work them into it. And it took me probably a year of having the word out, because when I told people, oh, well, you are going to have to work hard. You are going to have to learn things. You are going to have to get certifications.
You
might even
have
to pay for your certification in schooling.
Learn anatomy.
Exactly. People, you know.
They shy away from the work.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They just think it's all fun and games.
I just want some money to go drink with.
So when somebody actually comes and they begin an apprenticeship, they actually have the drive to do this. I know it depends on the person and how quickly they learn and their skill set that they are bringing into this. But have you ever said, this is not going to be a good job for you, don't do this? Or how long do you normally apprentice somebody before you say, okay, you're ready to go on your own?
Well, before they can even function in the shop, I have to train them in standards that won't endanger anybody else. So it's kind of a couple-month process just getting somebody online, knowing what they're doing, and familiar with the operating in the shop. And then, like you say, at your person's own speed, they can be trained, but it's still a long process.
Okay, I got a question.
With a whole bunch of different steps.
Yeah, but I got a question. Okay, do you actually have them, this is going to sound stupid, but practice on rubber parts? I mean, do you have, like, dummies or something that they practice on? Like, you know, at the hair salon, when you go to beauty
right.
school, they have little dummy heads of hair and
my
stuff?
My training has always been more hands-on. When I have worked with an apprentice in the past, I'll first have them start cleaning my room after I've pierced. And not
you know,
as
the good part.
Not as servitude, but to understand
yeah.
cleaning their environment.
How to clean and sterilize the area for the next
client. And then they go ahead and let them actually clean some clients. And if it grosses them out to stick their finger deep down in somebody's belly button and squish it around and stuff, then they may be too squeamish for it.
Yeah.
But again, like I
but
say,
then again,
each
if
individual...
they're just sitting there every time you stick your finger in their belly button, they go, hee hee. Okay. That's
yes
antagonizing
no.
your piercer. You may not get a good piercer. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Sam,
I'm sorry. I'm envisioning a woman that had an orgasm during a clitoral
piercing.
Hood piercing. Oh God, those things that happen.
You're covering your eyes. I want to.
Whoa.
What about on PAs?
You know, most every guy, gay or straight, when I pull out the cotton pad and some soap, and I start scrubbing them down and touching them real gently there for a second. Most guys get turned on.
You,
but
you
right about
get,
the time that I pull
erection.
That needle out, Most guys go, my marks get wiped off as that thing tries to get inside.
Yes. Is this a penis piercing or is it now a clitoral piercing?
How in the world do you even do that? Do you have to stretch the penis or keep it?
You know, I'm exaggerating. It doesn't entirely retract so severely that I can't access it. I was going to say, except on Clint here.
Mine would.
We use stainless implements and things that allow us to hold the skin, and it allows us to avoid poking ourselves while we're piercing you and things. There's a whole bunch of thought of what goes into it. Okay. And grabbing the body part is always part of the process and the thought. You probably can't retract far enough for me to not get you.
I can.
You know, and not every...
No, he got you.
Not every artist will pierce a penis.
Yes, there are some guys that'll pierce a girl's belly button for lifting her shirt, but won't go near a guy's weenie.
Yeah.
And right there, you could probably tell that person's not truly a professional, and you might want to question their whole operation and your safety.
Yeah.
Again, dead giveaways, you know.
Whoa.
Dead giveaways. That's not necessarily a good thing to talk about around here.
No.
No, but you're right. I don't, like we were talking earlier, I wouldn't go to an artist who was not comfortable with me. And if I don't really care about the artist's orientation. I care about the work that he does.
Oh, and the way that they treat you personally, like I say, you know, the project is important to you on so many different levels that if somebody just really gets into and interferes with your experience that you're trying to have, you know, it can make it nothing to you.
Yes.
So,
well, I admit I was scared when I got my PA done.
Hey, but
I was
metaphorically
expected.
I held your hand all the way through it, and with a big smile,
it
was over.
You were holding my penis. Robert was the one holding my hand.
That wasn't your hand. Surprise, surprise. That's not my finger either.
No, I was scared.
Gomer Pyle joke.
I was scared, but you know, one of the things that I like about you is you put people at ease. And I find that to be probably one of the best traits somebody can have that's doing your job.
Oh, yeah. I've been described as having a magic touch, and I just had a tattoo done by one of my artists, and I finally experienced somebody that has a magic touch to where when you're connecting with them, you're not focused on the pain in any capacity and so pleased with it that, you know, the pain is not detrimental. And maybe I'm just a pain freak, but
no, but there is a connection. It's the same type of thing with a good masseuse.
Oh, there you go.
You know, there's this connection thing.
Intimate but not intimate, and so on. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, it's that moment in time that you're sharing.
Exactly.
Okay, I have a good question for you.
That's right.
Yay! Just did! I can breathe clearly now. The bee is gone.
TMI.
You're the one that brought up micturating. Okay. Here's one thing that I want to ask you about, because you're a master piercer. And
hold on now. Don't use the term master piercer with me, because there is a term in the Association of Professional Piercers for master piercer, and I think it's just an award that they give to, you know, true seniors in the industry, not like truly
but you
capable
are old.
Younger.
That's true.
Okay, we won't call you a master.
We'll call you a senior piercer.
No, being a brilliant piercer that you are.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I'm a member of the APP. I don't want them to feel I misheard them as a brand of myself.
Hey, APP too. So. Okay.
APP.
It's so Canadian, I love it. Okay, being a brilliant piercer and doing this so many years, one thing that I've noticed, I see... You can go into Hot Topics, or you can go into Erotic Cabaret, and buy some little body jewelry. Okay, you break the microphone, you buy the microphone.
Can you hear me?
He's banging
my
his head on the microphone here.
No, but what, the question I have is not even that they do little, that you have these little clothing shops down on the curve that do. We do piercing, but my question is, so many places now sell body jewelry. And they take out, and you just go pick up the body. You can buy it.
It's a bastardization of the industry that is unsafe, unclean.
It's made in
represented
China.
Poorly and made in countries with lower standards than in America. The jewelry that we represent will have standards with a federal stamp on it, saying that it's suitable for use in the body while it's healing. If you were to get a bone pin or a heart valve with a small piece of metal in it or something, it would all have a federal stamp saying that it's good for use in the body. Like you're talking about there, a lot of the jewelry that is at your dollar store, for instance, I mean, you can get belly button
jewelry
rings
at the dollar store.
7-Eleven, you know, every odds and ends store will try and hustle a rack full of body jewelry, and a lot of it is toxic to the skin, and like you say, when I went into one shop, I saw somebody trying on an eyebrow ring, and he didn't like that one, so the girl handed him another one and stuff. And then they're going to sell all those products to somebody, and that's going to end up going into your piercing. So working with somebody out of a shop that is going to, you know, not...
And this is my question. If you buy jewelry out of a shop like that, you just have to have that little piece of bling on your belly button.
Don't do it.
And you just have to buy it. How would a layman without an enclave like y'all
enclave.
Have...
Autoclave,
I'm sorry.
Enclave is different than an autoclave.
Okay.
Enclave is
y'all have sterilization equipment.
Yes.
You know, that's a good point.
You take it home, you boil it, you stick it in the microwave in a cup of water for 4 minutes. I mean,
not a microwave.
Is there any way to clean jewelry like that to where you are comfortable that it's safe? Because I know when we go into your shop, we want to see something, you say, here, put on a pair of gloves.
Right.
Yeah. No,
you don't let anybody touch the jewelry.
Right.
And these are even sample pieces.
Right.
Well, and you got to understand the jewelry, when it's manufactured and packaged for distribution in the shop, hasn't been cleaned in any capacity other than just wiped off to make sure that it doesn't have dust on it from...
Not our shop.
From the metal fabrication shop where it's completed.
Where they mill the jewelry, yeah.
And... like I say, it's barely done to just a visible standard. And so, first off, if you buy a piece of jewelry like that, you're going to want to clean it well. Barbells have holes or have crevasses in them, both internal and external jewelry. Will have places that have deep little, places that you can get dirt and debris and stuff in there, or have residue from the actual machining process. And so using a toothbrush and a soap and water to thoroughly examine your jewelry and get in all the different places that might be hiding debris is going to be real crucial. And then, like you say, you get to the microscopic level where looking at it doesn't any longer do you any good. At that point, it's pretty much going to rely on chemicals or heat. Baking a piece of jewelry in the oven at 400 degrees for a half hour or an hour will... So
when you throw in the Betty Crocker cake, throw in your jewelry too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or, like I say, that temperature would potentially kill, you know, germs and so on, but not, like he's saying, putting it in your home oven may not be a very, you know, clean process in itself.
Basically, does boiling it work?
So...
why don't you tell me? I have never attempted using boiling as a sterilization method, and I've never researched
it. Just thinking
high pressure steam sterilization is the conventional technique of choice these days in the medical profession and in the tattoo industry. There is some equipment that looks like a small toaster oven that is used in the medical industry that people in the tattoo industry use in their shops sometimes. I don't believe it's allowed by state law. And it's a more difficult process to handle the steam sterilization. It just works in a simpler fashion.
So if you
the
buy
steam
your
sterilization
jewelry,
is better, you know, guarantee.
So basically,
hey,
if you buy your body jewelry,
let me scrub it with the brush and dump it in some chemicals, and then I can put it in
you
gently.
You buy it at the dollar store, you're at your own risk.
Yeah,
you are.
As I say, okay, first off, you're going to
dollar store.
We love the dollar store.
We love the dollar store, just not for body jewelry.
Body jewelry. Right.
One other thing I
want
to. One other thing I really want to touch on.
Wait a minute. What about like these ultrasonic?
Ultrasonic cleaners are might if you have that at your disposal. Again, if your equipment is a clean piece of equipment, you might potentially use that instead of a toothbrush, and that would be far more effective. If it's something that you do dirty processes in, though, you may not want to put your jewelry in and count on pulling it out, you know, as clean as we do in the shop at, with our ultrasonics.
No, I have a lot of earrings, and I clean them.
Put them in a small jewelry cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will get them clean but not sterile. Yeah. A while back I mentioned that clean and sterile are two different things. Clean is basically cleaned. Sterile is absent of any potential disease or
bacteria. True, but then, you know, if I clean 100 earrings and where do I store them to keep them that way?
You know, every day I go home and I kiss my dog straight on the lips. So,
yeah,
I mean,
me too.
I know I'm talking about germs, but you can't be a germaphobe. We do expose ourselves to a gamut of things on a daily basis, and that's what keeps up our resistance to disease. So,
But our saliva has more bacteria than a dog's saliva.
Okay, so
it takes about 10 seconds after a dog eats something that's disgusting
for it to disappear.
For it to disappear. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I kiss my dogs for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, cleaning my dog.
Years ago,
that should not be used in place of mouthwash for cleaning your tongue.
No.
Do not.
But don't collect dog spit to clean your jewelry, okay?
But years and years and years ago, when people were out in the woods and things like that, they would let their dogs lick their wounds because
it would help clean
their
life. Yeah, well,
or put honey on it.
That would attract bumblebees.
I know. Yes. In the woods.
And bears.
It's what the Egyptians
and not the fun kind of sexy leather bears, okay? We're talking big, mean growlers.
Keep wounds clean.
Yeah.
They're covered it in honey.
Yeah, and look how young most of those pharaohs died, okay?
Hey, well.
And I bet they all died smeared in honey.
Yeah.
Okay. One other thing. Let's talk about the actual jewelry itself. There are basically two kinds, internally threaded and externally threaded.
And, you know,
what's the difference between these two types of jewelry?
Well, in one capacity, an external piece of jewelry is often easier to manufacture than a...
Well, explain what it is.
Okay,
explain
I'm
what
sorry.
That means.
Internal and
because
external.
Going,
I was
going
to say, I'm trying to figure this out. Okay.
Here, if everybody's looking, my PA is internally threaded.
Okay, well, hey, let's see. A barbell has a ball that screws on it, okay? So you got the shaft and then the balls and...
No, hang on.
Oh.
Oh, look at Jimmy. He's turning red already.
Yes, you're eight. Make sure eight. Make sure eight.
Yes, yes. You're at the right show.
No, there is jewelry that is manufactured when you unscrew the ball that the post itself has the threads on it and the ball has a receiving pocket.
Mm-hmm.
This is called externally threaded jewelry because the bar has the threads on the external surface of it. Internally threaded jewelry, the bar is the reverse of that. It will have a shaft drilled into it and threaded, and the ball, instead of having a receiving pocket, it has a male fitting.
The ball will have a penis.
There you go.
The ball.
So the ball, you have
a screwy penis.
Internally threaded, the ball screws into
the shaft
of the jewelry. Externally threaded, the shaft has the threading on it, and it screws into the ball. Now, the argument...
What's the difference?
What the difference is what it does to your body when you insert the jewelry. All that threading on the outside of the bar can give you micro tears and stretch.
Oh, there you go. Exactly.
Yes, no? Diane's kind of going, eh, it depends.
Yeah, actually, we do use some external jewelry in initial piercings on some things. Of course, if you go with a big size piece of jewelry and we're piercing you the thickness of a pencil, it would have a rather large thread on the external portion of it, proportionately. So that would be really abrasive as it passed through your piercing and would literally feel like putting a serrated knife through every time. So... At a small size, say an 18 gauge under a 16th of an inch, jewelry that's externally threaded, the threads are so microscopic that as you pass them through, it's barely a raised surface to it. And so it doesn't do harm to the body as it slid through. And so, yeah, like you say, you may or may not opt to, and especially at different gauges, go with the external and internally threaded jewelry. Association of Professional Piercers, standard has consistently stated that externally threaded jewelry is advantageous to your piercing, and with 20 years of experience, like I said, I still use a mixture of both. Externally threaded jewelry also can be easier for the housewife to screw onto in a well-heeled navel piercing that she provides her own jewelry to. If you start getting something that's very small and very fine machining to it, many people won't be able to operate it with normal hands, and it'll take a true specialist to work with that jewelry. So, again, you might almost be better off with getting a piercing from a bad artist with external jewelry because it might be easier for them to get it together. But
I'm so confused.
Well, if we did your nipple, we would probably use an internally threaded piece of jewelry. If
we did
your earlobe, we would probably opt for an externally piece at a really small, thin gauge, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like I say, again, it's really working with somebody that knows the difference of when it's appropriate and so on. I was just talking to my apprentice as I was doing all my piercings today and describing that, oh, you put the forcep parallel to the skin, but that's not parallel to the ground, so you want to go, and on, and the client was going, gee, there's so much to this, and there is, in fact, so much to it if somebody's conscious of everything that they're doing, or, you know,
if they're doing it right.
Well, that's why you're an artist.
If you're doing it right, there's an artist
and technician. Well, I mean, when he did my labret, he went 3 or 4 different times to hook the clamps on my lip because he wanted to make sure it was perfectly horizontal the way it should be. And he's like, no, that's not right. Hold on, let's try it again. No, that's not right. Okay, now I've got it. And most people...
Just need a fat lip forcep for a fat lip. I've invented some tools along the way to make my job easier, too. Like I said, true technician will, like, you know, work with what they have and, like I say, try and develop things beyond what's available standard. And I have a few forceps that I've bent into really peculiar shapes that allow me to get into a thicker or thinner crevasse of a body and so on, where a piercing might not otherwise be able to be done, or if it were to be attempted, it might be very difficult on the piercing artist and the client both. So,
I've got one more question. When you're talking about a piercing that is healed, what do you do with the jewelry that, say, you have in your jewelry box when you want to put it in?
You know,
you're not going to have an autoclave all the time.
Again, you go back to, you're going to want to scrub it off visually real well, and then you'll probably want to rely on a chemical of some kind, and you can read by their description as to what actually kills germs on something. Some antibacterial soaps take 3 minutes contact to actually disinfect something, and that may be the best you're going to be able to get in your own home facility. But again, using things... as is described.
Soak it in vinegar and shove it through your skin.
What
might you use as a disinfectant?
Hand sanitizer.
I mean, it's alcohol. Is that going to be enough to kill?
Well, like I say, visibly, if you've gotten the debris off of it and you use a sanitizer like that and you use it by appropriate directions, it's a hard surface. And, that might be a viable solution for somebody in a home environment to get not only, you know, clean of visible debris, but of some of the biological material at least. Good idea.
Because, I mean, a lot of people, you know...
Good idea.
I don't know
anybody like this, but there are a lot of people that have lots of different jewelry.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't know anybody.
I don't know anybody
like that.
I've
heard of people
you
like
know,
that.
Until he looks in the mirror.
And you're, I know oftentimes people are inclined to give jewelry away. You got to remember that biological matter may be stuck in the crevasses that are the fine little threads and stuff that are difficult to clean and without the appropriate equipment. So handing jewelry around to friends and family may not be a great thing. Just giving it to your best friend, especially if you're not completely intimate and they insert your jewelry, you could quickly be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've had somebody gift me with a piece of jewelry that they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
They went to, and I think they went to you to do this. I won't mention names, but they went and said, I need this clean, I need this sterilized, and package it for me.
Yes, we
can do that.
So it was
clean, sterilized, and sealed, and then it was given to me. So I knew that it was...
Well, there you go. And, yes, again, it was done professionally with the, you know...
Right.
And in that instance, it was actually ultrasonic autoclaved, packed, and then given to you.
Right.
And so, we're attempting to get rid of any margin of error by doing processes multiple times.
Let's put it this way. Would you wear somebody else's dirty underwear?
Oh, well, I'd put it this way. Well, why don't you just pull your friend's PA ring out and put it in your tongue? Now think about it. Isn't that gross?
Well,
if it's your underwear, I'd put it on my head and smell it.
Yeah, okay. But like I say, your piercing is...
Hi, Chris. That sounds kind of like a musical interlude moment there. Why don't you play us some Split Second? I really want to hear Rigor Mortis. I haven't heard that one in a while, and I think you know Rigor Mortis, the song.
I'm old. I know it.
Split Second, Rigor Mortis.
Wait.
Did we get a cigarette break?
Yeah, let's go some ciggies.
I don't believe in myself, and I decided I was never coming down. Then a tiny little dot caught my eye. I was just about to small to see, but I watched it way too long. It was pulling me down.
Welcome back to After Hours. This is Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. I'm your host for the evening with Leather Ties. Tonight in the studio, we have Sacred Heart Studios, piercing salon and tattoo artist extraordinaire. And the songs we just listened to, the first one was by a group called Split Second, and that song was called Rigor Mortis. Second song, obviously, most people know that was Nine Inch Nails with Up Above It, Down In It, whatever the hell it's called. The one song I wanted to play, I couldn't play, because it's got the F word in it about 9 times. So, So, welcome back. Oh, Diane's cold. I'm sorry, darling.
It means your nipples will get hard.
It's almost over. It's almost over.
We brought all this extra clothing.
Yes. Yeah, extra clothing works, yeah. So, for those of you who don't know, you probably will recognize Tim's brilliant car, because not only is he a brilliant piercer, but he's also incredible with a plasma torch, apparently.
I'm just a metal specialist.
Metal specialist. I like
metal
that.
Specialist. Yes.
You do orthodontics as well, I think.
Can you do my implants?
I need a grill for my grill? Teeth. I need a grill with little spikes on it. They have one of the most famous cars in Houston and pretty much all of the Southwest. They have the Sunflower car. I don't know. Have you named the car? Does it have a name?
No, it's a Sunflower car.
The Sunflower
and
car.
I even got a what, second place for best float in the Pride Parade, 2 years ago,
yeah.
I think. So it's been out there, and lots of folks have seen it, and it's a...
I think you need to make one for Diane that looks like Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors. Not Seymour. What was the... You know, the plant?
The plant's name. Yeah. I don't know.
I can't remember the plant's name. He was always going,
Seymour.
Feed me, Seymour. You need to do one for Diane. Do it like a little moped-y thing, or like a Shriner car for her.
As big as the flower is, I always wanted to make it the big plant from Shop of Horrors.
Well, I've always wanted that rickshaw.
Oh, the rickshaw would be good.
Yeah.
We could do a rickshaw, kind of like Thoroughly Modern Millie kind of rickshaw. That'd be cool.
There you go.
So, we've been talking tonight about piercing, tattooing, how to do it, where to go, what to look for, and how to take care of it, your aftercare. Tattoos. Big thing about tattoos fading. Don't get a tattoo and go lay out in the sun.
Well, the sun has the same multi-spectrum of ultraviolet radiation that you're going to get from lasers that they use to remove them. So simply going out in the sun and getting a sunburn can actually cause damage to your tattoo as well. I retained the brilliance in mine for the last decade by staying out in the sun.
What about sunblock? I see a lot of people. I know one guy with some really incredible dolphin tattoos on his arm, and he always has this white little space around his dolphins because he puts sunblock. Does that work?
Yes, sunblock is completely effective at helping you retain it there. Like I say, it blocks the ultraviolet radiation that's actually causing the burns there, and helps to separate the ink from the skin. And, you can have abrasions across tattoos while they're healing and things and cause holidays. It's hard to damage a tattoo once it's well-healed, though. Application of a tattoo is really important. Like somebody was mentioning earlier, if you go in and somebody's being turned a hamburger, that's completely a possibility. The machines that they use, actually penetrate the skin multiple times per minute or per second even, and like I say, that's one difficulty
bad.
That you can have is having a tattoo that scars or scabs really badly, and that can, be a detriment. But you can also create those same situations by thoroughly soaking tattoos too quickly after having had them performed.
And
lots of folks do that. They want to get a tattoo and then go on vacation immediately.
And permanently, do you get like the permanently raised ridge on the tattoo? What happens to it? Or does the color just comes out?
Permanently raised ridges are caused from being implanted too hard.
They go too deep in the skin.
Exactly. It's causing too hard of a scar tissue. And in this scarring process, creating a tattoo, some people, a very, very limited amount, will have irregular scarring. But that's, a fraction of a percent. It's not very common at all.
How long will that scarring last?
The scarring is...
As permanent as the tattoo, basically.
As permanent as the tattoo, exactly.
It's just like that scar on your knee when you were 6 years old, and that scar is still kind of there. It's faded, but it's still kind of there.
Kind of a lump in the skin.
Yeah.
That's the same kind of
damage. But now, are
some people,
they just more sensitive skin, their skin's automatically going to raise because of a tattoo? I mean, if you have really sensitive skin, should you get a tattoo?
Proper application on skin, even this real sensitive, should work out just fine. And in fact, some really fair skin helps to work with bright colors. Colors, you got to envision that any tattoo is placing a slightly tinted piece of glass over the work that you're performing. It blends in with your skin. And like I say, somebody with really fair skin that may be real sensitive could get a brilliantly colored tattoo that somebody with fairly dark skin might completely not be able to achieve.
It'd have to be rethought.
Yeah.
Right. What is the hardest color to put in?
White?
Yes, I think white is the hardest color to put into the skin and have last. Even taken care of well, it'll still dissipate. And there are people that have entirely white tattoos done. And
you only see it when they tan.
Well, unless there's actual scar tissue left, over time the white will in fact dissipate and it just goes away entirely. So, bright colors are harder
to retain over time.
Like white, yellow, the brighter colors, the lighter colors.
Yeah, the lighter colors are harder to impact. You can imagine that black covers very well. You don't see your skin through it.
Right.
And a gifted artist should be able to make a really bold tattoo using appropriate colors for your skin. Like you say, if you come in and want brilliant colors, it may have to be a completely rethought project.
Well, okay, a good example, working in the art industry myself, you get a black background, you put down a coat of white under base, and then you lay your color on top of that. A black person, would they put a layer of white on it and then put the color on top of it?
You know,
is that a possibility?
That's a good question, but unfortunately it's not a possibility. White, in that it doesn't cover very well. It can be deposited on the skin.
It just won't last.
But the visibility of it is, you know,
very
impeded
limited.
By the darkness of the piece of glass you're holding over it, you know.
So the pigment of the skin has a lot to do with the color.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You're seeing the tattoo through whatever your skin color is.
Right.
So even no matter how much you protect it from the sun,
that won't make a difference.
It won't make a difference.
No.
Exactly. I mean, some people's color will never look as brightly as another. If you have a tan base covering what, you know, if somebody else has a white base under.
Well, yeah, like if you've got an olive complexion, don't get a green tattoo, duh. You know, you got green skin, okay?
Well, there's a lot of people that have olive skin complexions, but it's not
dark. Yeah, exactly. There's... You should be able to work with your artist and get a good result once you've discussed what you can get. Just like with piercing, you don't want to fight the way that the body works. And so, like you say, if you come in with a really super dark tan, you can't expect that you'll have the brightest whites and the brightest light accents to contrast with shadows. And then it doesn't look as brilliant, kind of.
Well, you come in with pale skin, you get it done, you get a tan. Is it going to affect the ink? Does the skin actually tan or burn underneath the ink?
You know, like I say, unless you damage the skin severely, once the tattoo's healed up, it's pretty hard to pull it off, except with lots of direct sunlight.
Which would be UV rays, laser. Okay, cool. Good to know. Well,
a big fallacy about the fact that
He said fallacy.
It's fallacy. That's a gay fallacy.
It's fallacy.
I've heard people say that if you have, if you go into an MRI.
Oh, that'll pull the ink out?
That'll pull your ink out. Isn't that a big fallacy?
Yes. Inks are made from minerals and things that...
They're not going to be made from metallic
magnetic fragments of any kind.
Have you ever come across somebody who's allergic to the ink?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it can happen.
You know, and that
I'm sure it's pretty rare, but
that is a possibility, and the damage can, you know, get deep enough that it'll actually reject the ink altogether, just leaving a deep scar and removing the tattoo. But again, that's a very small percentage of people that'll experience something like that.
Okay.
There are certain colors, for instance, red, that some people seem to be more sensitive to. And
it's just the way that they make the ink.
That's why it's important.
It's just the composition of the ink.
Yeah, the elements.
Use a good professional that... Yeah. Knows their ink.
What about having to be retouched to,
you know,
to finish up?
My artists all say no tattoo should ever have to be retouched. But we all, or everybody will offer free touch-ups on their work. Of course, if they've left a holiday and it's, you know, it's what it's called when the ink isn't deposited, then they'll certainly go back over it and, you know, handle that for free. I say it should be a reasonable expectation that you're getting your product all at once for the most part.
Well, then
unless
again,
you're doing a whole back piece.
Yeah, you're doing large areas, you probably have to go back in just because once the healing process is done, you'll find areas that the artist will say, hey, I missed that little spot right there. Let me fix that for you.
Exactly. As I say, a back piece is different, is a different approach than a simple ornament on the wrist or something.
Can I get Snoopy on my butt? Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Don't laugh. I've got a flamingo on my butt.
Yeah, I know. I know every tattoo you have on your body.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
Have you guys met?
No. Okay. We just live in the same house.
Okay.
We don't talk to each other. Well, I want to thank Sacred Heart for being here. It's about that time to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Tim.
You're
thank
welcome.
You so much, Diane. You guys have been great.
I don't
We've
feel
got
like
a lot
I got to
information.
Like say offensive things on the radio nearly enough. Why is that?
Okay, Chris,
you can have a repeat.
I'll tell you what, Chris. If you'll cut off Tim's mic, we'll let him cuss up a storm, and that way the SEC won't find us.
Let me just throw out nutsack once more, just because.
Okay, the new secret word for the next 45 seconds is nutsack. Everybody,
nutsack.
Thank you for listening to After Hours on KPFT Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, and we will see you next month on Leather Ties.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it may help if I turn on my microphone.
Yeah,
I was wondering where that was.
Welcome back.
Boy, my voice went away.
Yeah, he's just talking up a storm in there, and there's nothing coming out on the...
Oh, I'm busy.
Well, Mary's waiting in the wings.
She's going to
be bringing
Asian
you Zydeco Pasale.
I love Mary.
Just a few minutes.
She has great music. I want to steal her CD collection.
Yeah,
way,
she so. Does have great music.
We'll
she
talk
really
to you later.
Does.
Bye.
She says she's traveling light tonight.
Oh, traveling light, huh?
So the loss would be... minimized.
Okay.
All right. Well, Jen, you've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web, kpft.org.
Oh, yeah.
God, they're noisy. Hey, we're still doing a show in here.
We are.
Shut the FCC up.
Yes, yes.
We had a good time.
Oh,
tonight.
We got a letter from Tigger, too. We didn't get to...
Oh, that. Man.
We'll take care of Tigger next week.
Okay.
I do love the one part in here. Hi, all. I hope this finds you all well and blessed. The static I listened to this morning became interrupted several times by portions of this radio broadcast program known as After Hours. How dare you interrupt my static show? That's not the reach around I was expecting.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Well.
My okay. arms just aren't long enough.
Oh, he went there.
All right, now it's time for your PSAs.
Number 22 is coming Saturday, July 26th. Number 22 features Giant Bear from Tennessee. Local artists O.B. Hendrix, David Fall, Los Vertigos, Pot Roast, The Hightailers, and many more. Number 22 is a benefit concert for KPFT. Number 22 is a 22nd annual Watermelon Dance and Summer Social. The event is held at the Last Concert Cafe, 1403 Nam Street, just off the Hardy McKee exit on I-10 in the heart of downtown. 713-226-8563 gets you details. Dawn and David promise a great time for all. Number 22 starts around 2 p.m. So come on down, meet your friends, and dance in the sand. And enjoy a slice of the other red meat. Icy cold watermelon. See you Saturday, July 26th at the Last Concert Cafe for number 22, a Houston classic. Supporting 90.1 KPFT Houston.
In this presidential election year, huge issues face the United States. Wars in the Middle East and saber-rattling with Iran, the danger of environmental collapse, and the economy in recession with no end in sight. Yet on many of the most important issues facing us, only modest differences exist between the two major parties. However, over the weekend of July 11th, the Green Party will chart a different course at its annual convention in Chicago. Pacifica Radio will be on site to bring you live coverage on Sunday, July 13th. We'll air speeches, stories, and sounds from the Green Party convention, as well as terrific live interviews and analysis of the Greens and the current political landscape.
This special airs live Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPFT HD2, and again right here Monday at 8 p.m. Tune in at 7 for the premiere of If You Love This Planet with Dr. Helen Caldicott on KPFT Houston.
That's all.
Tu que c'hai il cuore? Se tu che c'hai le magnifiche? Allora devi fare il cuore.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.